This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Welcome to Place to Be Nation's comprehensive look at the news and happenings throughout today's wrestling universe. Hosts JT Rosero, Steve Willey, and Nate Milton are joined by insiders and guests to take you around the wrestling world on PTBN's Clotheslines and Headlines. Take it away, boys. It's Lariat time.
And
they want to
see me pick back up. And it's the X-Trash. We all are fine.
Now I got it like that. Tuck my napkin in.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 21 here at Clotheslines and Headlines on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed on iTunes and many other channels as well. I am one of your co-hosts, JT Rosero, back in the saddle here this week, and it is a huge week because it is WrestleMania weekend coming up. We have a lot to cover, a lot to talk about, both here on the show and at PlaceToBeNation.com as a whole. And the whole wrestling world is ablaze, because even if you don't like WWE, there's plenty of other great action coming up for you this weekend, and we're going to talk all about it. But first, let me bring in my usual compadres, and I'm going to start off, I guess we'll go west to south, Steve Willey?
Sure. That sounds pretty good. North to south, you can also do that. Those are two opposites.
Yeah, that is true. That's right. Yeah, north, northwest to southeast. I don't know where.
Yeah, we're pretty much the northwest. Yeah. I mean, Pacific Coast doesn't matter.
Nate Milton, are you southeast of me, or were you directly south? Where are you at in Virginia?
I'm probably directly south of you, Brother JR. And regardless of where you are on the map in this great country, this great land that we live in, as Dusty Rhodes would say, this is an exciting week. It is WrestleMania week. This is our last show of Clotheslines and Headlines before WrestleMania. So I guess, JR, you could call this the penultimate thrill ride.
Yes, sure is, buddy. Sure is. And I'll be leading a cavalcade of stars through Orlando this weekend as well. Get in there on Friday. I'm going to be going to the Hall of Fame and WrestleMania, do some theme parks in between. And there's plenty of other shows, of course, and a big group of Place to Be Nation. We'll talk about it more as we move along. But we'll be doing the tailgate once again this year. And that was a ton of fun last year. Nick Duke has posted the menu. It is amazing. So if you're going to be in Orlando and want to join us for tailgate fun in the parking lot prior to WrestleMania, let me know, and we'll get you hooked up. But beyond that, guys, what we thought we'd do is start off with some news, and then we're going to have our buddy Pete Schermacher on here to talk about all the other non-WWE shows going on this weekend. He'll be attending a bunch of them. And then the Cowboy, Mr. Morissette, will be with us as well. He'll be in Orlando, too, with me. He's going to help us preview WrestleMania and NXT TakeOver. So, gentlemen, there was one piece of news I wanted to cover, and it's one we've talked about. It's, I don't want to say synonymous with our show, but, you know, it's paralleled our show since we started, and that has been the saga of the Hardys, whether it was Total Divas. No, it was Final Deletion. It was Deleter Decay. It was, what was the other one? Help me out, Nate.
Of course, we had the greatness that was Total Nonstop Deletion. That's probably where you got tripped up,
because
Total Deletion. So like, yeah, that actually might be good. Total Deletion with all the divas in the broken world.
We might be seeing that, and that's where I'm headed. So obviously we've paralleled them, and you know, they've hit some legal trouble. We covered a few episodes back, and now
Natalia, I knew you'd come.
I knew you'd pass gas, but blend them all. That's probably what she was doing when Matt Hardy was last year, right? I don't know. Was that old? But yes, so the big news making the rounds right now is that the Hardys have either agreed or on the verge of agreeing to a deal to return their home in WWE. Of course, there's some contention around whether they own the Broken Universe gimmick. Will they be able to come in until that's settled? Will they come in without it? Will they wait it out? Or will they make a return at WrestleMania, like many people assume they may? Dave Meltzer has given some hints, basically said it's inevitable. Someone on Twitter asked him if, you know, the Hardys closing up their pro wrestling tees or whatever, you know, shirt or personal store shirts, shirt stores out there, had anything to do with this. And he said, not maybe, definitely. So he's all in. He thinks they're definitely headed back. I'm going to stop talking for a minute because I clearly am a mess. So, Steve Willey, what's your thoughts on this whole scenario?
No, please go on.
I am a disaster. Go on.
Oh yeah, they have been clearing out their personal store for a few weeks actually now, and as soon as that happened, you knew something was up because Ring of Honor still lets, you know, the Young Bucks have their own store. So they still let talent sell their own stuff. So when they started clearing that out, it was fairly much a foregone conclusion that they were going to be coming in. Like you said, it's just a matter of when at this point. And they still let them touring around the world. They were just in Peru against the former Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix, believe, over the weekend. So they're still doing their traveling the world, racking up titles gimmicks. So, man, it would be a good crowning achievement if they do show up on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree, Steve. You know, from everything I've seen from Dave Meltzer, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of when. I think they've still got a few dates left in April, including ROH, and I believe a House of Hardcore show towards the middle or the end of the month. But that shouldn't be any big conflict with them signing with the WWE. But in terms of can he use the gimmick, I think that's the interesting question, because if you've been following the saga online, particularly on Twitter, you've got Rebby West, and that's what I'm going to call her from now on, because she's out here like Kanye, going on these Twitter rants, F that Al, and so on and so forth. And I think the Hardys definitely have a claim, but I was discussing this with Les from Talking Sheep podcast the other week on Twitter. And it's like, the Hardys probably have some ownership on it. But if you're working for a company, it's probably like when David Letterman went from NBC to CBS, where he had most of his intellectual property. But there were some things NBC still had rights to. And I could see the same thing here. And so they could be delayed by this. But if I'm the Hardys and if I'm the WWE, why not just tweak the gimmick a little bit? You know, instead of being Broken Matt and the Seven Deities and all this other stuff that we've come to know and love from their run in TNA, why not just be, you know, Twisted Matt or Busted Matt or something that's just conspicuous enough or inconspicuous enough to pass the smell test? Kind of like when Hall and Nash came to him, but it probably be something they could get away with legally.
I think too that you know, we had this discussion on Facebook a couple weeks back, and I was just kind of playing devil's advocate, like you are, Nate. Like when you are with a company, like with my wife's job, if she creates something or gets a patent on something, it is the property of the company that she works for. Mm-hmm. And that happens at a lot of places. Like, you know, it was a famous one with, I think it was the guy from the Monkees, Mickey Lorenz, I believe, had some inventions that he did, like the Post-it note. There was a famous story of the guy who invented Saran wrap for 3M, who didn't get anything about it until like 30, 40 years later when they just decided to give him a big paycheck because of the controversy that was involved. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting seeing that they funded some of this, the Hardys, with their own money.
Right. To me, that's the hook. That's the interesting part. How much of this did they fund and create on their own?
And that's going to be that's the court case right there. There is doubt that, hey, you were under contract with us, and so therefore whatever you produce under us is our property. However, they, you know, and what Rebby's doing, and I'll call her Alicia Florek from Good Wife. You know, she's the Juliana Margulies to Matt Hardy's Chris Noth.
I thought you were going to compare her to Mae West, Nate. I thought that's where you're going with the
or Don West with the TNA connection. you know, they have a case with Rebby going out, and she's trying to make that, hey, you know, Senior Benjamin wasn't under contract. Maxwell wasn't under contract. You know, she's trying to play this out in the court of Twitter. And but man, you just wouldn't want to go up against the WWE lawyers and the stuff that Jarrett and TNA are doing right now. Like just sneaking the trademarks in on the videos. Like all of a sudden that means that you have a trademark because you put it on a video. That'd be, you know, like if I just started taking TNA programming and just trademarking it myself on a video, just playing that and say, hey, it's my trademark. I can put it on YouTube if I want to.
Right, and WWE may just say, screw it. Come on. You know, we'll go to court and we'll tie them up forever and eat up their money. Like, they, you know, they're not going to last. And, you know, WWE has their own in-house lawyers. And They're well versed in this stuff. So whatever, they'll sit there for, you know, they'll stay it for 2 years, and then the Hardys will be done by that point. Okay, you know, now, I mean, I think even the Hall and Nash thing, didn't that last for years, like in the court? Like, that wasn't something that was settled right away. I feel like that settlement came in like 98 or 99 or something like that. So it's not like they'll be able, unlikely that they can get a true stay as long as they tweak the gimmick just enough, or can prove that they're doing things that weren't created under the TNA auspices. I think they'll get away with it. I mean, I think in their minds, if I'm WWE, I'd probably take the risk and have them at Mania and figure, you know, whatever boost we'll get from Mania and the post-night Raw maybe be worth it, you know, as opposed to the any kind of court issues they have to deal with.
I think so. It just makes sense because while there is value in the Hardys, Matt and Jeff showing up as the Hardys, you know, their gimmick from the WWE, there is so much more value in them in this incarnation of their characters. And we kind of saw a test case earlier last year with the Dudleys where they could have come back and Bully Ray in particular could have been some variation on his TNA gimmick, which might have been, you know, it's arguable, guys, that that was the best run of his career, even though it was in a smaller promotion. But instead of doing that, they went with the tried and true Dudley boys. And so while it was cool to see the Dudleys back, I don't think it had the impact, no pun intended, that it could have if they had gone with a gimmick more closely aligned with Bully Ray. And so I don't think they're going to make the same mistake twice with the Hardys. You know, to me, it's much more valuable to have them in this gimmick or some variation of this gimmick than to have them just as Matt and Jeff. And so while there is some things that need to be kind of figured out and sorted out with who owns the rights to the gimmick, and I wish both sides, particularly Impact, could have been a little bit more gracious with this, because at the end of the day, I think both sides helped each other out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The Hardy thing was definitely one of the hottest things for TNA in years. And to the other side of the coin, I don't think Matt Hardy gets to do this, at least not to the platform he had in any other company.
Right.
And so I think they both should have just kind of been adults about the situation and said, hey, man, you know, hey, you know, we can't come to terms on the money, so we wish you the best. And you know, Matt could have been like, okay, you know, this is what I'm going to do here. I'm not going to do exactly this, but, you know, it's
right. Like, what
it's a shame they couldn't have come to some type of agreement.
What do they have to gain by blocking them? Like, it's not like they're legit competition for WWE at this point. So it's not like this is going to put WWE over the edge. You know, it's not like Hall and Nash. You know, it's not like, oh, my God, WWE got the Hardys. They're going to kill us now. No, they're already fucking killing you. Okay, so they go to Ring of Honor and do it. All right. I mean, like, Ring of Honor is in their lane. You're in yours. So I just don't see where there's the direct level of competition that TNA has at this very moment that this would really cost them. Like, I just don't get what they're gaining. Besides this, you know, becoming an undesirable place. And I know WWE does this shit all the time, too. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying TNA's even wrong in what they're doing. I just don't get why. When you're in a position where you're trying to build up some goodwill, some credibility, you get a new regime. Hey, maybe the Hardys come back someday. You know, maybe you shouldn't burn the bridge because you may need them in a couple of years. Maybe they get burnt out on the WWE schedule again and they want to come back. You know, so that, I mean, that's a big part of it. So you they should be looking bigger picture with this stuff. What else is it affecting? It's, you know, like a baseball team that, you know, you see it like with the Yankees and like Dellin Betances, right? This year where they had kind of a nasty arbitration thing and they kind of screwed them over what, like $1.5 million or whatever that they have, you know, billions that they're sitting on. And you wonder deep down, is something like that maybe going to affect people who consider to come there? I don't know. Probably not, but you never know. Why take the chance? And they're in a lot better shape than TNA is, so they shouldn't be risking, you know, a bad image and being the Dan Snyder of TNA and, you know, pissing off the, you know, prospective signees. But
especially when Jarrett et al. Weren't even around for this, you know, for the Hardys, Hardys makeover. Like, if anyone's going to have a problem with it, it's Jeremy Borash, and doesn't seem like, you know, he's one speaking out against this for at all. It's more than the new people in charge.
Yeah, not to be, you know, Charlie cliche here, but this is a classic example of, you know, kind of cutting your nose off to spite your face. It's like, man, I kind of get where TNA is coming from, but at the same time, they are not in a position to be playing hardball like this. I think it does more damage than good in the long run. And so, yeah, I just wish both sides could have come to an amicable splitting and parting of the ways, but they didn't. And so now we've got this this drama going on.
It will be funny if they just come in as a Hardy voice and, like, no reference or mention at all. Matt's got his hair, like, in the ponytail. You know, like, just like, straight out of 2000 or something like that. Leaders with them. Just, like, out of nowhere. Just totally throw the clock back. All right, guys, why don't we wrap up this segment? Why don't we take a break? We got the Cowboy in the wings. We got Pete in the wings. We're going to be talking some WWE. We're talking some Evolve, Ring of Honor, everything else going on this weekend. It is WrestleMania week. Clotheslines and headlines preview in full coming just a moment.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Welcome back to episode number 21 of PTBN's Clotheslines and Headlines. I'm JT, joined by the Godfather, Nate Milton, and Steve Willey, and the man who's now joining us, stepping into the booth, is the man who you hear each and every week on the Place to Be podcast, thinking Nate Milton was the real Godfather in the clip that will never die, and that is the Cowboy, Mr. Morissette. Cowboy, how are you?
Oh, doing fantastic.
Are you excited to speak to the Godfather here tonight?
Yeah, you know, I'm always honored to be in the presence of the Godfather.
Riding
that hoe train.
There you go.
Hey, pimping is far from easy.
It is far from easy.
All right, so we, the Cowboy and I took a tough loss in the rain on the basketball court tonight, so we'll see if we can get the energy back up. But he will be joining me in Orlando for this weekend of festivities. We'll be attending the Hall of Fame. We'll be attending WrestleMania. Not attending NXT, but many listeners and fans are. So I thought we'd start there. Right now, only four announced matches that we're going to talk about, and then we're going to spend the bulk of our time together breaking down the full Mania card and giving predictions and thoughts and whatnot. So, Nathaniel, why don't you take a moment here? Do you want to talk about this card as a whole and, as you know, just in general, the excitement around this NXT card? Because to me, it feels like NXT, since the call-ups, has lost just a tad bit of that luster that, you know, there was always a lot of excitement for these cards, and I feel like I don't see that buzz as much these days. Is that the same feeling you get?
Yeah, I think that not only this card, but like you said, NXT as a whole for most of the last year hasn't felt as hot a product as it has been in the past, and it's something that's going to be natural. I think you're going to see this thing have ebbs and flows depending on who gets called up when and who they choose to be in that next position to move up and become kind of the standard bearers for NXT. And so while this card is definitely not as electric as the card that we saw last year, I do think there's a couple good matches, particularly when you talk about the match for the NXT championship and the NXT women's championship. Those are two matches I'm actually looking forward to, whereas the rest of the card that we have announced so far, it's not doing a whole lot to light up my world.
How about you, Steve?
I would completely agree with that. You know, I was just talking about, you know, before we came in for this segment, that I haven't even watched the main event of the San Antonio show yet. And I'm this guy who would watch NXT every week. I'd watch FCW every week on YouTube. Back when they were before they switched over to NXT, I am very much looking forward to the Asuka Ember Moon match. To see, especially if it's going to be the changing of the guard, you know, might get a clue of if Asuka will show up on Sunday or Monday after that. But besides that, like, they've just gotten into this pattern on these takeover shows of repeating the same match up top, two, three times in a row. You know, they did it with Balor and Joe. They did it with Joe Nakamura. Now they're doing it with Rude and Nakamura. And you have enough people down there. I think the last thing I heard in an interview with Triple H this week, and he said they have 100 different performers on, down there, yet they have, as announced right now, 12 on the card. So you, and obviously they're going to be taping a couple more matches like they usually do for the next week's NXT. So I'm assuming we're going to see some, you know, combination of Sanity and, like, you know, Roderick Strong and shout out to my buddy Matt and his love, Heidi Lovelace, now known as Ruby Riott, who made her debut last week. But besides that, yeah, like, I don't know if I need to see another Authors of Pain DIY match. I know they're throwing the Revival in there now, but again, same match as the last few shows. You're getting a combination of those three teams in some way.
How about you, Cowboy? Any buzz for you at all for NXT? I know you've been locked in hard on WWE programming, but has NXT been on your radar, or you've kind of faded from that as well? Because I mean, we were pretty into it when we went to SummerSlam, went to that TakeOver Brooklyn. And,
oh, totally.
You know, it felt like the luster faded. You know, the Toronto one was still pretty big, too, but it seems like in 2017, at least, has been a little less talked about.
Yeah, I mean, the last one I watched was when Rude beat Nakamura with the knee injury. I thought it was awesome. I mean, I could watch those guys 1,000 times. I love their entrances. I play Glorious when I get out of the shower every day, and it gets me going, you know?
All right, well, that said.
So that's my level. That's my level. I won't watch, obviously, we're not going live, but I will definitely fire up the network and probably just watch that match and may possibly turn it off after the entrances.
You alternate between being their target fan and their worst fan. Like it's a good mix. All right, so why don't we look at the card? We have Cien Almas, who is now a heel, most rightfully so. I think it's been a good change for him, and many seem to be enjoying his antics much more in this role. Taking Aleister Black. Any thoughts on this one, Nate? Who do you like? Is the setup for Cien to take the win?
Yeah, I think so, because if you look at this guy, man, this is a guy that I think Triple H was really high on when he first came into NXT and then kind of stalled out for a little bit. But now he's back on track, and I expect him to win this match and probably to get a little bit more traction in NXT as they progress through the year.
Steve, you agree?
I'm all in on the former Tommy and Aleister Black winning here. Another pattern that you see is if you have a guy debuting on a takeover, if they're a face, they're going to go against Almas now that he's a heel. If they're a heel, they're going to go against Ty Dillinger. And then the new person goes over inevitably. So Black is the name du jour for this takeover.
Aleister,
you can tell I'm a little down on this. I'm usually more positive about these things.
And you stomped over my Aleister as a new Black joke, so thanks.
See, I was going to go Passenger 57. I was going to say Steve Willey always bets on Black.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Tag team titles. Cowboy, I'll start with you on this one. Authors of Pain are our champions. DIY, Gargano and Ciampa, and the Revival, of course. We saw a tussle in a great match in Brooklyn. Do you see the Authors just retaining and moving along here? The Revival been long rumored to come up to the main roster. To this point, it's like, when are you going to do it? And DIY, are they going to stick around as well?
Yeah, I think exactly what you said. I think the out of the three of them, the Revival, I think, is probably my favorite team. But the Authors are my least favorite. But I am pretty certain they'll win the match because the Revival is coming up here to battle American Alpha at one point or another.
Nate, you think the Authors retain?
I think... The Revival is definitely moving up, probably sooner rather than later. My head says the Authors retain, but my heart's with DIY. So I'm going to go with my heart and say DIY wins the belts.
I'm going to laugh when the Authors lose to the Revival and come up the next night on Raw. And then the Revival's going to win. How about you, Steve?
I'm going to go for Authors of Pain for the win. I will say that they impressed me against DIY, especially the last few minutes of the match at the Rumble card. I thought they were much improved in that match. And it's going to be hard to be – I know they were doing some of these NXT house shows, but to be thrown out there so young And so inexperienced out in a big crowd like that has to be difficult. So I'm going to give him some props there. But I feel like there's going to be a lot of the tag team championship is going to be used more for these newer, more untrained guys. They have a lot of teams that are coming up that have been working the house shows, like Heavy Machinery. I think Moss and Sabatelli is another team that's coming up, and I have a feeling that they're going to be using the belts for those kind of teams. I don't know what they're going to do with Ciampa and Gargano. You know, are they going to be split them and put them in 205 Live? Are they going to keep them down there in NXT to get some of the other talent over? Not sure. I love Ciampa, though.
Sabby's finally making it up because they were hanging on for a while, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Another title match here, and I think this is where we definitely could see a change, and that is Asuka defending against Ember Moon. And the only reason I say is because it seems like Asuka is ticketed for the main roster to the point where she's actually, you know, part of the, you know, odds to debut in the SmackDown women's title fiasco there to maybe win the championship in her debut. Regardless, not only does SmackDown need new female talent, I think you could argue Raw does at this point, too. I don't know how many times we can watch the combination of the four girls that are fighting for the Raw title, but I think we've kind of maxed out on those four. So Asuka could also go there, and then maybe in the draft someone moves to SmackDown. But either way, I think Ember probably wins here, so Asuka can move on, and Ember can take over the torchbearer role. Steve, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's important to note that Asuka has not lost. She has not lost any matches yet, and she's been there for over a year. Ember Moon has really kind of taken everything by storm. And we got Nikki Cross that's down there too now. I feel like, you know, we were talking about with the tag teams, you know, there might be some people coming up. I think with the women too, they have so many women down there. You know, Ruby Riott's one I talked about before. Nikki Cross is another. Princess Kimberly, now just as Kimberly, is started up with NXT now. And it's going to be another changing here. And Asuka is, I would say, with along with AJ Styles, are probably my two favorite people on the roster, WWE or NXT. And she's just got it. And I think she's going to be hugely over once she's able to establish herself in WWE.
What do you think, Nate? Ember taking that title?
This might be the match I'm most looking forward to on the card. I think that they've done a really good job of building this story and both showing the dominance of Asuka, but also Ember Moon and the lethalness, I guess would be the word I would use, of her finisher. And I think that this should be a fun match, but ultimately the right call is for Ember to win the belt. And that will not only bolster her, but in turn, like Steve was saying, bolster the women's division. Because they do. They kind of went through a lull, but now I think, you know, bringing in Heidi Lovelace, bringing in Kimberly, you know, you got Nikki Cross there. You know, you got Peyton and Billy. I think that the second wave of the women's division is now here in NXT, and so it's time for Asuka to pass the torch and come on up to SmackDown.
You in agreement, Cowboy? You think Asuka's time is up?
I do. I mean, I think, and I also think that this one could steal the show. I think it was it Sasha and Bayley at a previous card that kind of stole the show for the whole weekend.
Yep.
I think there's a good chance that this does kind of the same thing where it elevates both of them, regardless of who wins. But yeah, I think Ember's going to win and Ox is coming up.
All right, let's stick with you, Cowboy, for the main event. Bobby Roode, the glorious one, still champion, taking on Nakamura, the former champ. Is this his final NXT match? Does he come up the next night on Raw? He's been hotly rumored as well. What do you think? Roode retain?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of the same deal, right? If Nakamura is coming up, then Roode retains. Mm-hmm. So, I really enjoyed their match with the knee injury. I love Nakamura, and Rude's perfect for you know for what he is. Nakamura is obviously the better kind of worker, but Roode really is. I love his charisma. So take Bobby Roode to retain cheaply.
And especially, too, if this, you know, Triple H stable goes up and starts firing up, Nakamura could be a natural foil for that as well if they bring him up. Nate, what do you think? Is Nakamura's time up? Is he coming up here?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, if we're being honest, Nakamura probably should have been up a few months ago. But, yeah, this should be a good match. I think I've liked this feud maybe a little bit more than Joe and Nakamura, which is surprising because I think those matches were better, but I just think the character work that Bobby's been doing in this feud has added another dimension. So it should be a fun match, should be a good match, but Bobby Roode retains, and Nakamura is bound for the main roster.
Steve?
I think Roode retains, and I don't think Nakamura is going to the main roster until they do the draft. I think he's going to do like a – it's going to be like a Finn Balor type deal where that will be how he comes up. I don't know. You know, there's rumors that there's going to be a draft soon. There's always been rumors that there's drafts over the years, though. But if it is true that they're going to do a draft sometime in the next couple of months, I think they'll wait there, and maybe they'll do some type of – secondary match, like maybe another Nakamura Ono match on an NXT or something, like on a TV show, as a way to send them out.
All right, we usually do like a match of the night, blah 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 thing, but I think we're pretty much good with NXT. It's four matches announced; they're all probably gonna be pretty good. So, why don't we move on to Sunday, because we got a lot to cover here. There are 13 matches. It looks like as of now, at least two will be on the pre-show. I'm sure a third will make its way there. It's going to be another long show. It was announced today that Pitbull will be performing in concert as well. So that
did you say Pitbull, JR?
I did.
You know, we have to contractually, we're obligated to play this song when we talk about the Ultimate Thrill Ride. And that's enough because I don't want to get sued by Mr. 305.
There you go. So anyway, he'll be there in the house in Orlando. So let's start with the pre-show. There are two matches definitely slated for there. And then, like I said, we'll see if there's a third. Why don't we start with the Cruiserweight Championship match. It was announced tonight on Raw that will be a pre-show match. Not really a surprise to many. Disappointing, because I think it could have really shined on the main card. And that is Neville, who has been a fantastic champion. And he is taking on Austin Aries, who's been hurt and is now ready to go. Been wrestling a little bit on TV. And no one's been able to take Neville out. We've seen Jack Gallagher give it a couple shots, and Neville survived them all, and here we are against Aries, a double. I think the pre-show slotting is interesting here, and normally I always say go with the faces in the pre-show. That's kind of my natural inclination, because it seems like the way they usually go. I'm not sure if they give Aries his big win on the pre-show. I feel like Neville could cheat to win somehow, or, you know, sneak one out, and then Aries wins it either on the next Raw pay-per-view or SmackDown, whatever show they're on, and then or 205 Live or something like that. It would surprise me to have Aries have a big moment on the pre-show. Once that got bumped to me, it telegraphed it just a bit. And it could be misreading, but it wouldn't shock me if they kept running with Neville. That said, I think a lot of heels are going to win on this night, so it might be an easy face win. So I'm going to stop. Steve, what do you think?
So you're picking both
yep.
Aries to win and to lose?
Yes.
Okay.
I do that in every match, just so you know.
That's a great idea. It's like when you have the people predicting the Oscars, and they take the one who should win, the one who will win, and you know they basically pick three of the five choices. I'm thinking that it's going to be Aries. I wonder if this match is bumped up to the pre-show just because of the whole getting the ring ready with the giant stage. I have no information on that. I'm just speculating. Because you think that this would have been a good match to put like in the middle of the show. Like bring the crowd down and then bring them back up with a match like this, you know, bringing up the moves.
I think it's just a crunch, though. If you look at the card, like I've been going back and forth. Like what? I mean, no
there's
match.
Really not.
Yeah, there's no
You're
other
right.
choice really. Besides, I guess the SmackDown women. You know, like that's the only other one to me.
Ambrose Corbin.
Yeah, I mean it's an IC title match. I'd be surprised. I mean, I think Ambrose is above the pre-show for this.
Yeah.
Reigns Undertaker.
Probably shouldn't be. I mean, and they haven't even formally announced the SmackDown tag. You know, the rumors the Usos are going to have an open challenge. So is it American Alpha? I mean, then it's probably in the pre-show. Is it the Hardys? I mean, so that's probably in the main show. So that's an option as well. So we could be pushing 14 matches. But I'm sorry, Steve, anything else left on the Cruiserweight?
No, I mean, these are – we talked to, earlier on at the beginning of the show about the Hardys kind of – paralleling the our show in general, and 205 Live also has done that, and this is probably one of the matches I'm most excited about if they give it enough time. You know, that's always the question: are they going to give it 3 minutes or they're going to give it 15 minutes?
Well, the pre-show probably helps them in that regard. They'll probably get more time in the pre-show than they would have on the main card.
Right.
Nate, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest benefit to being on the pre-show, because if this were on the main card, they'd probably get, you know, 7-8 minutes at most, judging by all the things that have been announced already for WrestleMania. So going to the pre-show, they could get a good 15 minutes, and it could end up being the match of the night. I'm really excited for this. No disrespect to anybody else in the Cruiserweight division, but I think what TJ Perkins and Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar and the outlandish one, Rich Swann, what they lacked is star power and star quality. And that's something Austin Aries has in spades and has had for a long time. And so I think this feud has been pretty well built, and I don't think it ends at WrestleMania. I think because it's on the pre-show, you can have the heel champion retain and still set up Austin Aries' big moment down the road. So I think Neville retains, and this thing keeps on going.
Cowboy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. It's a good idea to have it on the pre-show. It's definitely going to be, it's going to be one of the three best matches of the night, right? I mean, almost assuredly. And, you know, to stick it as number 9 or 10 is, you know, either the crowd, as we saw last year, Justin, I mean, there are a couple of stinkers in there. I mean, not that you lose the crowd, but, you know, people get antsy in their seats, and it could, you know, if it goes 15 minutes, you know, people are, this show is taking forever. I mean, I can't think of a better match on this card to kind of lube everyone up for the main show. I think it's gonna get the place rocking. I think it's been built great. I love Neville as a heel, and I love Aries. I thought using him as a commentator was fantastic. It really let the fans really get to know him personality wise. And as far as who wins, I'm with Nate. I think the feud goes well beyond WrestleMania, so I'll pick Neville to retain and for Aries to win at a later time. But I could just as easily see it going the other way. But regardless, I can't wait for this one. I think it's going to be great.
All right. The other match definitely announced for the pre-show is the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Not a ton of names announced so far. We have Mojo Rawley, Apollo Crews, The Big Show, Kurt Hawkins, Braun Strowman, Goldust, R-Truth, Primo and Epico, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, and Jinder Mahal. And I believe Sami Zayn also entered tonight as well, too. And you'll get your surprises. I mean, last year we had DDP, we had the Tonka, stuff like that.
Corbin was a surprise last year.
Corbin, yep. So, I mean, there'll probably be maybe a call-up gets thrown in there. So we'll see how things go. On the pre-show, I don't think we'll get any major surprises, like an angle or something crazy like that. I think it's set up for Braun to win. I think it comes down to him and Big Show. I mean, it seems pretty much set. They teased it pretty hard on Raw tonight that the two of them would be the guys. I think that seems like a natural place to have them show down and have Braun win the match. Do you agree, Kevin?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I watched that on Raw tonight, and it was that they were yelling and screaming at each other. I love Strowman for what it's worth. I mean, I think I told you this, Justin, but he should just be fighting Reigns. I would be so much more excited for that match than I am for Undertaker Reigns. But yeah, I mean, Strowman, I think, is definitely going to win the Battle Royal, and probably, you know, they'll clean everybody out quick, and then the two of them will sort of have a rematch of that excellent main event on Raw a few weeks back with Strowman taking it.
And I think this could not, you know, may not be the last time we see Strowman on the night. I think even though he's not in that Taker Reigns match, I think he's going to make his presence felt. We'll talk about more about that later. But Nate, who do you like to win the Battle Royal here?
This is another match where I think if it were on the main card, my choice would be different. But because it's on the pre-show, I'm going to go with Big Show. I think if it were on the main card, I'd definitely be in the camp of Strowman. But because it's on the pre-show, and because Big Show kind of got screwed out of that Big Shaq match, and because this might be his last WrestleMania, probably be his last WrestleMania, I think Big Show gets the feel-good moment, and then Braun probably destroys him afterwards, and we get, you know, another match on Raw where Braun goes over.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. What do you think, Steve?
Big Kurt Hawkins Epico Final 2. Yeah. Poor Braun. You know, to kind of be relegated to this. And Braun has been a workhorse the last few months, doing much better than everyone thought he would be.
You get over at the wrong time. No plans for Mania and get over before Mania. I mean, we've seen it a lot over the years. Remember, like, Edge in 06, and there's been other guys that just happened to get over right before Mania when they had no shot at really making the card just due to a number crunch. By the way, Samoa Joe not announced for that match, and he's got nothing else going on. And I do think we'll see him in a later match,
yeah,
but he's probably going to be in this thing too, right? You're going to think he wrestles at some point.
You would think, but why wouldn't they have announced him at this point? He's getting... Yeah, it's very bizarre. Some of the, and I know that losing Shaq, if that, you know, is hurting that as well, because that would have been Show Shaq, my least favorite B-52 song ever. Yeah, I don't really care about this match in the least, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on then, because we still got 13 Mojo other Wild fucking matches to talk about, so, or Jesus. 11, whatever. All right, so, let's go at the bottom. We're going to go with the Raw Tag Team title match. And this is another one that's potential for the pre-show, too, I think. It could sneak down there. It also could open the show because they seem to like to open with Enzo and Big Cass. They are challenging along with Cesaro and Sheamus against Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, the champions. I mean, on a show that I think is going to be heel heavy, this is a layup to me for a face team to win because the two face teams are in much better positions to do so. You're going to think at some point they're just going to give Enzo and Cass a tag run. On the flip side, at some point, are they going to split up too? Does Cass finally turn on Enzo? Do they lose here and he snaps the next night? I would give it to Sheamus and Cesaro because I think they're the best of the three, and I think they've been awesome together. But I think they finally give Enzo and Cass their title run, Steve.
I'm going strictly on who I would like to win, and that's Cesaro, Sheamus. That's just, you know, where my heart lies. I was at the Fastlane pay-per-view, as we talked about last time, and Cesaro and Sheamus were getting huge pops in between segments when they were doing videos, as they would went out to like the pre-show and they were getting pops doing that, and then they would walk out, they were walking out of the arena getting pops doing that, doing nothing that's televised.
Oh yeah, they've been great.
They've been amazing, and it was started off as, you know, two guys who they had nothing to do with and nothing to do for them, and put them together, and they're just running with it, and that's been Cesaro since he started with the company. You know, throw him with Kid, run with it, you know, become one of the most over acts in the company.
Mm-hmm. I think it wouldn't surprise me if they're trying to get the big pop out of the gate. You know, last year we saw with Ryder winning the IC title. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't surprise me if they think that Cass and Enzo winning the tag belts to open the show, get everyone fired up, and then they'll have the string of heels.
Enzo's been getting some booze.
True.
He's been getting some boosts lately. And so, again, you know, with the big stadium, you don't know. It's probably going to be more over than anything if they're going to lead off with this. And I would assume that you're right, Justin, that they're going to – they've done it before on pay-per-views. Let them come out and start the thing.
What do you think, Nate?
I think I can speak for all of us here in attendance this week, fellas, that I think if instead of Gallows and Anderson, we had Tex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad defending the titles, mm-hmm. it'd be a better match.
Or Tex Sassinger in Shanghai, Paris.
but I agree with Enzo and Cass, even though they're not nearly as hot as they once were. And I think a lot of that blame goes to the booking, particularly that terrible Rusev angle that they were involved with. But it only makes sense, you know, to have a feel-good moment. And out of the three teams, I guess the biggest feel-good moment would be Enzo and Cass walking away with the titles for the first time. So, I'm going with Enzo and Cass, even though I think this match will probably be very underwhelming.
What do you think, Cowboy? Is it who wins, and is it too little too late for Enzo and Cass? Are they beyond their expiration as to when it could have been a hot title run for them?
Yeah, they're going to win, I would say. And, yes, it's too late. I go by, like, you know, my wife Katie watches Raw with me a lot, and Enzo is like by far her least favorite person.
Is that by choice that she's watching it with you?
Well, I mean, she's on the we sit on the couch together, Steve, and you know, she half watches.
That's good.
The comments that she makes are around as soon as that, you know, she knows it's Enzo and Cass coming out, she's like, not these fucking idiots again, you know. And I mean, Enzo,
she may be subtly trying to hit on Scott. You may want to look into this. She knows the way to his heart.
I'm not worried there.
Okay.
Just kidding, Scotty.
He's not listening.
It puts the fear of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit into me. So, no, and so I think they're going to win for the reasons you guys said. I'm with you, Steve. I'd love to see Cesaro and Sheamus win, but, you know, outside of that battle royal, there's really not a lot of history of them throwing the old rocket on Cesaro. So I think they'll win. I'm 100% with you, Nate, that, the quicker the better, you know, because, you know, it's an 8-minute intro of BS and... Yeah, they're going to win, and hopefully the next night on Raw, Cash kicks the shit out of Enzo and calls it a day.
Yeah, they lose to the Revival, you know? Or Authors of Pain. All right, Nate, SmackDown Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss, the champ, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Mickey James, Carmella announced so far, others TBA, could have Asuka, could have Sunny, I don't know. there's many women that have been rumored for this slot. Lita, I mean, I've seen them all. They're making it like it's an open challenge. Who do you think wins? Does Alexa escape? Is it Becky getting her big moment? Or is there someone else that's not announced, the one that takes it home? I think Naomi's also been rumored. Is she healthy yet?
Yeah, I think if Naomi's healthy, she definitely is in this match, and she should go over. If she's not, I think Alexa retains. Or we could see Mickie James get the belt, because I think that'd be really interesting. I don't think we see Asuka. I don't think, as much as I love Asuka, I don't think her coming into this match and winning right off the bat would be the best way to maximize her debut. So I think we're either going to see Naomi, Alexa, or Mickey. And if I'm going with the most likely to happen, I'm going to say Naomi in her hometown.
It depends to me if it's on the pre-show or not, if Asuka's going to. I mean, if this makes its way to the main show, I think we're getting something different than what's announced here. If it's on the pre-show, I think it's paint by numbers. Who do you like, Cowboy?
Yeah, I mean, with who's announced right now, I think Alexa would retain. But there is that wild card there. Again, with Nate, they played up the Naomi Orlando thing, and Naomi was hot before that injury. So if she's in it, I think she'll win.
Steve.
Naomi's always hot, but I'm going to stick with what I said earlier, and I think they're going to do Asuka here and have her come out and just start destroying everybody and have her go over. I mean, that's what my fantasy notebook here says.
Your fantasy notebook or?
Oh, yeah, well, that too.
Your dream journal, your fantasy.
Yeah, my dream journal, actually. Yeah, I have my worry dolls here, my dream journal, and a dream catcher. And really, if they don't follow exactly what my booking strategy is, I'm just going to cancel the network, because that's I think what you're supposed to do.
Quick, create some fantastical scheme that should happen, and when it doesn't, we're all quit.
Yep.
All right, Intercontinental title on the line as Dean Ambrose takes on the upstart Baron Corbin. You know, I like Corbin, but this to me screams like we've seen in many manias past, where the young guy. It seems like this is the time he takes the title, but this is not quite there yet. And he takes a real hard-fought loss. He shows all, you know, he comes close, but Ambrose escapes with the title. That's my prediction. Reminds me a bit of Chris Benoit, MVP at WrestleMania 23, where, you know, it seemed like MVP was being primed to take the belt, but Benoit just bests him because he's the crafty veteran. So I think Ambrose sneaks out the win. And right when Corbin looks like he has a victory in hand, Ambrose rolls him up or something. Nate, what do you think of this one?
I would title this match, I Don't Give a Forklift, because I'm really not invested in this. And it's surprisingly not Baron Corbin's fault, because I think he's been looking much better the past 6 or 7 months. I think he's kind of finally finding his character, and his matches have been really good on SmackDown lately. So I'm not putting this on Baron, but Dean Ambrose, for whatever reason, just hasn't resonated with me during this IC title run. And it's not because he's not a good wrestler. It's not because he's not a good talker. It's just something about this dude doesn't click. And it specifically doesn't click in big time matches. You know, whether you talk about his feud with Bray Wyatt, or whether you talk about his feud with Brock Lesnar, and we saw at WrestleMania last year. For whatever reason, the big matches don't seem to click with Dean. So I'd like to see Baron win this. I'd like to see, you know, a fresh coat of paint put on the IC title. But I'd have to agree. I think Dean Ambrose is going to retain. And Baron eventually will win the IC title, but not this week.
Yeah. Has Ambrose been? I mean, I feel like he hasn't had that mojo since about a year ago when we talked about, you know, going to Fastlane. I think it was Fastlane where he was fighting in the three-way. Remember to see if he should – who was going to fight Triple H.
Roadblock?
Was it Roadblock where it was him – yeah, it was him, Reigns, and Brock, wasn't it? Wasn't that the match? It was Fastlane, wasn't it? There was a three-way match to see who would fight Triple H at Mania.
I think that sounds about right, yeah.
But I remember everyone thinking they were going to hotshot it to Ambrose. I remember that being the big feeling, and that Reigns would be taken out of the title picture because he was flailing, and he didn't. And I feel like ever since then, he's never really found his way again. I feel like he's been a little bit lost in the shuffle since then. Do you feel that way, Cowboy?
Definitely. And I think Corbin could win this match. I think a lot of people feel the way that we do about Ambrose. I mean, the crowd reaction's not really there. It seems like no matter, you know, that the character's a little bit played out. And I think, you know, so Corbin can take the loss more than Ambrose, right? But if they don't think Ambrose is a big star anymore, which is very possible, then you can really, and Corbin has been great in this lead up, and Ambrose hasn't. You could really help Corbin out with the win here. I know, especially at Mania, you know, you generally kind of go with the veteran over the young guy, like the Jericho over AJ. But I think they may be willing to kind of cash in their chips on Ambrose and, you know, relegate him to the kind of like Sheamus kind of guy and, you know, really strap the rocket onto Corbin. But most likely you're right, but I wouldn't discount that possibility.
I guess one of the sticking points for me is I really still think this is a heel heavy show. And I look for these little spots where the face could win and the heel can kind of take the loss and it's not a big deal. And like, that's one of them. Like Ambrose is kind of like a layup to me, like just let him win. At least you can balance the ledger a little bit by having a guy like him pick up the win. Because as you start to get to these big matches, to me it starts to get very, very heel heavy. Steve, what do you think?
This is the match, like, when we go to SummerSlam, there's like the one match is like, man, I gotta go get a snack, I gotta go to the bathroom. And there's a lot of big names on this show. And there's not one that really sticks out where that is going to be the time to go to the bathroom, but I think this is going to be it. If this is not in the pre-show, like, the stink is on Ambrose right now. And I do agree with you, Justin. I do think it's going to be Ambrose on top and have that super match where Corbin tries to get himself they try to get Corbin over by just kicking out of anything and having, you know, standing up in the middle of the ring after Ambrose leaves and get Corbin some hand claps and some standing ovations. I think that's the match they're going to go for, is to try to get Corbin over the hump. Right. He's been massively improving. We used to joke about him on NXT, like, has there ever been, you know, such a low talented guy in NXT getting such a good push? But he's worked hard. He's proven himself to be a good, solid worker in terms of improvement. So, I think Ambrose is going to win, but you're right. I think Corbin's going to get the big shine here.
All right. Up next, why don't we head to the reality TV world, as John Cena and his, girlfriend, I guess, Nikki Bella, take on The Miz and his wife, Maryse. A feud that has been really, really good on SmackDown. I know it seems on the surface like a waste of John Cena in some ways, but I think it's a great reward for The Miz, who has busted his ass over the last year and been one of the best parts of SmackDown. It all started on that Talking Smack right after the brand split when SmackDown became a thing and Talking Smack became a thing. And he went on and he lit up John Cena and others. And I feel like it's been, you know, a roller coaster since then for him a little bit. But here we are, finally getting his big match. And he did arguably his best work last week on SmackDown when they made fun of Total Bellas with Maryse dressed up as Nikki and Miz as John Cena. That was some fantastic heel work. Both of these guys have taken a lot of shots at each other, have cut pretty deep on each other. Al Roker, by the way, just announced as the special guest ring announcer for this match. So we'll see what that has to do with anything. I've said from the start, I think Daniel Bryan gets involved in the show and does something physical. I think it happens here. He's been tied to this feud. He is married to Brie Bella. I think he comes in and lands at least a shot on The Miz. I thought originally he may be the special ref, but I think at this point he'll at least just be involved somehow and cost The Miz the match. I think Nikki maybe gets the pin on Maryse, and I do think we get the big engagement in the middle of the ring where John Cena proposes to Nikki and then celebrates with Daniel and Brie. I think that's what we get to end this match. I think it's what they want for the reality show. You know, I don't know if John Cena wants it, but he's going to be booked to do it. I think they get engaged on the show, and I think they win, but I think it's going to be a really fun match because The Miz is great and Cena's awesome. What do you think, Raj?
Yeah, I think I'm going to like the build up to the match. Like, I agree that the Miz stuff, the making fun of Total Bellas was really funny and fantastic. I don't really care at all about the match itself, but I don't care about the match. This is my bathroom match.
That's your bathroom. Okay.
Is Cena going to win?
You know, but I think you're right, Justin, that, you know, it's a good explanation for why they're doing it. If they're going to have, like you said, the big engagement, maybe Al Roker will officiate the wedding in the future. But yeah, I mean,
do you think Brian gets involved?
No, absolutely not.
You're biased. Steve, what do you think? Do we get the, who wins? Do we get the engagement? Does Brian get involved?
I think if I'm opening up Raj's fantasy notebook, I believe that Batista is going to get involved, and the Usos.
With Batista, you don't risk, you know, if he lands that one shot that he just, you know, they have to cart him out in a ton of
his
trash.
Head falls off. you know, here's the problem: the run up to the match is good, is actually better than good. It's been great. Where you run into the problem is if they don't deliver on what you say, Justin, it's going to let the crowd down because that's what everything's leading to. So they better come up with something big, whether it's, you know, Cena getting on his knee, pulling out a contract and then pulling out a ring from his other pocket, or if it's going to be, you know, Brian getting involved or both. They got to do something big here, because that's what we're expecting at this point. You know, it's not like, you're not like the first person who said that. And I hope for the sake of the show that they do that. I hope that Brian comes in and Miz is on his knees and Brian gives him about 10 kicks to the chest. I would pop for that. And it would also pop for it because then he wouldn't hurt his head doing that. But, you know, I'm more intrigued by this as a moment, as we've talked on the show before, like they are all about moments, and this can have several moments. And for that reason, I'm actually interested in it.
Godfather.
So many things to kind of break down here. First of all, I kind of wish James Storm was still in NXT because that would have been a great way to debut him at WrestleMania with Al Roker. Like, I see a storm front coming through, Jesus, and then sorry about your damn luck. with this match, the build has been better than it had any right to be. I remember when they were rumoring this match, and I was just dreading this. But with what Miz and Cena and the girls have been doing, it's been an interesting build up to this moment here. And that's what this match is. It is a WrestleMania moment. And that's why I think, yes, we will see Cena and Nikki win. Yes, we will see Daniel Bryan get involved in some way, shape, or form. And yes, we will see the proposal. So the match probably won't be great, but that's not what this is about. It's about a moment, and Cena and Nikki will have that moment. And if I could offer one little piece of advice to John Cena, it's something I learned a long time ago from Kanye West. If you ain't no punk, say we want prenups. We want prenups.
He's going to have like prenup A, B, C, D, E, F.
Sign here, initial there.
It looks like, by the way, we have an update to a match we talked about earlier. That is the Raw Tag Team Title 3-Way. There looks to be teasing that they may be adding a ladder stipulation to that. They had a brawl tonight between all three teams and heavily featured a ladder. So that could be the ladder match we get this year. I'm kind of surprised. I thought we were really going to get we're going to get a cruiserweight clusterfuck ladder match on the pre-show. I thought they'd throw all the other cruiserweights into a big match for like a number one contender slot or something. But it looks like the tag title for Raw is going to be some sort of ladder match. Does that anyone to speak up quick? Does that change your view of who may win? Or I think if they do that, it guarantees it a spot on the main show.
Yeah, and it doesn't change my opinion of who's going to win, and it doesn't make me more excited to see the match. I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, it's like what Paul Pierce said, or what was it Draymond said about Paul Pierce trying to get that Kobe farewell tour. It's like, people don't love you like that, man. And these three tag teams, people don't love you like that, man. I don't give a damn if you add a ladder to this match.
You know Enzo's on top of that ladder. You know it.
Oh, the boom shakalaka from the top of the ladder?
Out of those six guys, who's I mean, it's got to be Enzo on top of the ladder, right? It's the gallows. Come on.
Makes it
obvious. But that's good. That's good. At least maybe, you know, the ladder will add some excitement that wasn't really there. So that'll be good.
All right. A match where there has been plenty of excitement, Nate. We'll start with you here for the breakup of the best friends, Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Jericho is your U.S. champion. Singles match. You know, I think this is where we start to see the heel parade. I do think Owens is going to win this match because I do think it's going to be a big night for Team Triple H. I think Samoa Joe gets involved in this match, and I think he helps Kevin Owens defeat Chris Jericho in the United States title.
I agree. I think this will be a really good match. This will probably be, along with the Cruiserweight match, one of the better matches on the show. But, yeah, Owens wins. Primarily because it fits for the story, and also because Jericho should be leaving here pretty soon. But I think it'll be a hell of a match.
Steven?
Yeah, this is my match that I am most looking forward to. Jericho, when he first came in back last year at this time, people were kind of mocking him. Mm-hmm. And he proved that he has still got it, and he is one of the most entertaining things on Raw week in and week out. And the two of them have just clicked together. My concern is that sometimes when you see two guys click so well together when they're a team and then the breakup comes, the blow off doesn't end up having the same kind of magic. But I think with this one, with just seeing how hot the angle was when Owens destroyed Jericho and Jericho coming back recently, with the exception of the Brock or the Goldberg Owens match at Fastlane, I think this could be your best match on the card unless Shane McMahon dies in the ring.
Jesus.
Well, I'm exaggerating, but in
the there's a chance. I mean, it's not.
I don't mean literally dying in the ring.
I think there's even a chance.
Figuratively dying in the ring.
I just think it's so counterproductive, and I know this angle's been. It seems like Jericho should win this, but if he is going on tour, or even if he's not, Owens is ticketed for something a little bit bigger. You don't really need the U.S. title on Jericho, and I think if someone in a live chat said, "Oh well, Owens is kind of taking it to Jericho. He hasn't got anything in on him." He cost him the world title. Like that was Jericho's shot. You know what I mean? Like he did that already. So
he jobbed in like 30 seconds.
Right. So, I mean, he's gotten his shot in. It's not like Owens has dominated this feud. What do you think, Cowboy? Who wins this one?
I hate to disagree with you guys, but I think as hot as Jericho is right now, I used to not be a huge Kevin Owens fan, but he is very much grown on me. I think he's been great through this whole thing. These two guys have been the best part of Raw for a long time for me, and I can't wait for this match. But I do think that I know you say it's a heel centric card, and that's based on, you know, this being one of those matches. But I think you guys got it. I think you got it wrong here. I think it's WrestleMania. I mean, Jericho beat AJ Styles last year when nobody really even liked him. He might be the hottest guy in the whole company right now. I don't think that. I think he wins, and then he'll drop that title in the coming weeks on Raw. But I think he takes it.
Well, here's
and maybe fights through Samoa Joe to do it.
Here's a little interesting little tidbit, because I knew he was coming around my way, Jericho, for his tour. I'm on his site now, and the tour is taking place pretty much all of May, but they're are no dates on Mondays. Mm. Every Monday he is off. So I'm looking at the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th. There are no dates that he is on tour, or the 1st. So maybe he will be sticking around. If so, man, he is a machine. We had Daniels on, who's a machine last week at his age, and Jericho is too, if he's going to be doing a dual tour in wrestling.
We'll see. It'll be interesting how they go. All right. Fatal 4-Way for the women's title. We have Bayley, the champion, against Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. I think, yeah, I know her streak was broken in Fastlane. I don't bet against Charlotte on pay-per-view. I think we start to see the cracks between Sasha and Bayley. She either intentionally cost her or indirectly cost her this title. I do think this is another spot where they could get a nice face win by having Bayley win and retain. I just don't see it. I think Charlotte gets to win. And Nia wipes out Bayley. Sasha does something, and then Charlotte pins her. So you make Nia look strong in the process. Nate, I'm going to make you keep it in your pants until the end. I'm going to start with a cowboy talking about this match.
Oh, man. Do you think Dana is going to come down and try to screw Charlotte, per se?
I mean, maybe.
I mean, I
don't think they care
enough
about her. I think
Charlotte's
going to
a lot more than working against her. I mean, I was going to pick Nia. Just based on, you know, she's the monster. I think they've been teasing the Bayley Sasha issues for a while. So one of them is probably going to cost the other. And I don't think it'll be costing so that they win. So I could see, I think it'll either be Charlotte or Nia. I would pick Nia though. She's kind of that monster.
What do you think, Steve?
I think it's going to be Sasha. I think they're going to let her have one more moment and then transition to Nia at some point. And you know, she got screwed out of a lot of big pay-per-view moments. They gave those to Charlotte. So I can see her doing something kind of devious to win the match and win the title. And I'm going to just to see the rest of my time to Brother Nate here.
All right, Nate, let loose.
Yes, well, this will be the match where I turn the sound down, turn on some Prince music, and crack open
candles.
Light some candles, open up a nice cold Stella Artois, and just watch the magnificence of my future ex-wife, Nia Jax. But looking at the build-up to this, it's been so backwards. And, you know, you had Charlotte lose not only the title but the pay-per-view streak. You had Nia lose on the last pay-per-view, and then she gets inserted into this match. You had Bayley kind of lose some momentum over the past few weeks. So I think this match is not nearly as hot as it could be had they booked it properly the entire way. But I still think it's going to be a really good match. It'll be a really strong match. I could see a lot of different variations on who wins. You know, you could have Bayley having her big moment. Charlotte could easily get the title back. Sasha could get the title, which, you know, expedites the Sasha Bayley feud. But I'm gonna agree with Roger here and go with Nia Jax because I think that's what's best for business, boys.
What a shock! Best for your business.
But I do think, you know, we were talking earlier about the shakeup that needs to occur with the Raw women, and I think that's gonna happen one way or another. Following Mania, whether it's Asuka coming to Raw or if there's some type of a trade or draft situation. And if I'm picking anybody to come back to Raw from SmackDown, I think Becky would be an interesting person to kind of throw back into this mix.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they have to do something to mix up this women's division on both shows. I mean, they just do. They got to move things up. I mean, we've seen this combination so many times. They need to pick who they want to be the torchbearer on Raw and shake up the rest. And
they need a babyface because they're going to be heel heavy if Sasha goes heel. Because then you'll have everybody except for Dana, who doesn't matter, and Bayley, the lone babyface is on the women's side.
That's why I think Asuka could maybe show up on Raw, and they could move one of the other women to SmackDown to mix it up a little bit.
They'll send Emma over there.
Yes, someday. But anyway, so Nia winning is best for Nate's business to finish his business. So we'll go with that. All right, Steve, Shane McMahon, AJ Styles. A lot of hand-wringing on this one, feeling like it's a waste of AJ. And I think in-ring it is. I mean, how many Mania matches does this guy have in his holster? Are they blowing a chance for a big one? But on the flip side, he's not exactly getting buried. I mean, in the world of Vince McMahon and WWE, the Shane McMahon WrestleMania match is a big one. I mean, it's one of the marquee matches of the show, and they're trusting AJ Styles with it. So to me, they think highly enough of him to put him in this match. So anyone who's worried about him being buried or like shit on by WWE, I think is wrong. I think it's been very, very focused on SmackDown, and it's clearly one of the biggest matches on the card. In-ring-wise, though, I can definitely see the bitch that AJ was probably better suited, you know, just to have that final match with John Cena. You got Finn Balor. You got Samoa Joe. You know, like a million guys he could have had him. Even Reigns, you know, if they wanted to. Guys that he could have had a better match with. But what do you think of this match, Steve? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? I feel like it's one of a couple that has no middle ground on this evening.
I've gone back and forth on this so much since they announced it. When they first announced it, I groaned, you know, just like, you know, Nate had talked about with the Bellas match. If anyone can make Shane McMahon look good on the current roster, it's going to be AJ. You know, he really is the best worker in the company, if not the world, period. And from that point of view, like, okay, it's going to be at least a decent match. I don't want to see Shane McMahon wrestle, just like I don't want to see The Undertaker wrestle anymore. Like, I legitimately fear for their safety, and it's just not entertaining to see them just kind of like, I thought he was going to break his neck against when he took that spear from Reigns at mm-hmm. the last time he wrestled.
I thought that would be it for him. I cannot believe he's wrestling again.
Yeah, like I will still argue that, you know, the McMahon Shane Undertaker match at Mania last year was one of the worst Mania big matches of all time. And it's not that we're not going to get to see an AJ Styles big performance, because I think we've seen a lot of AJ Styles big performances over the last years. You know, he's had like 30-minute bouts. That match at SummerSlam with Cena was, you know, one of, if not the best WWE match of the year. And he is getting, you know, I'm assuming a big moment, a big payday out of this. It's just not what I want to watch. And that's kind of the disappointment there. They could have had AJ go against anybody besides this. You know, if they would have had him against Bray or Randy or even, you know, Dean again, like anybody would be better than this for me as a viewer. That being said, like, good on him. Like, he's going, you're right that he's getting a big payday. He's getting the big rub. Like, Shane McMahon's not a draw for me. Apparently he's a draw for some people. I don't know them, but they seem to think so.
You know, Shane's taking some kind of crazy Styles clash at some point in this match, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nate?
At least this will be better than Shane and Undertaker. It has to be. It can't possibly be worse. I definitely think there are better ways to utilize AJ Styles. But you're right, JT, in the way Vince McMahon thinks, this is one of the biggest matchups AJ could have at WrestleMania. And so I think it'll be better than most people anticipate it being. It won't be a 5-star classic or a 6-star classic, but it'll be a decent match. I'm thinking maybe shades of the AJ Kurt Angle match from back in the day. So I think we'll see a good match, some crazy spots, because Shane has, you know, more leeway than anybody on the roster to do crazy stuff. But that also worries me, because they did the big table spot this past week on SmackDown. So then, you know, they have to go above and beyond that at WrestleMania. And it's like, damn it, I don't want to see this man risk his health and his well-being for this match. But if there is a bright side, if there is a glimmer of hope, I'm hoping that maybe this is the catalyst in storyline that either makes AJ demand a trade or get traded to Raw, and he becomes the top babyface on Raw, and that's his role for the next year.
What do you think, Cowboy?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you guys said. I mean, I'm I've come around a little bit on the match, kind of based on what Steve said, that if Shane's going to be in a match, it's much better to have him in a match with AJ or somebody like that, kind of similar to, well, I guess we'll get to it, but like Triple H and Rollins, than putting him in with Reigns or someone, you know, somebody like that. I think Shane's going to beat him. And I don't know if that, like, I mean, because if you think about it, you have, we have all these guys, you know, the McMahons, right? So Shane and Triple H, they're in Mania, and they kind of lose a lot. And I think in the company's eyes that AJ is a guy that Shane can beat. So I think that's what's going to happen. But I think it'll be fun.
Hey, JR, I got a question. Just
hang on. If that happens, I mean, we thought there were riots last year when Jericho beat Styles, or Shane McMahon fucking beats him. Unless there's some crazy amount of interference where someone, you know, wipes out AJ for Shane. But if Shane beats AJ on his own merits, I don't think we'll. I mean, I don't know.
Are you? I mean, it could be some crazy stuff. But I mean, how many times does Shane lose? But I mean, does he just?
He's only wrestled like twice since he's been back. I mean,
he becomes Kane eventually, right? Where there's no suspense because you just know.
I mean, he's AJ beat Cena clean. I mean, multiple times. You really think that's someone they think Shane can beat?
I do.
All right,
we'll see what happens.
Whatever happened to the whole seeds they were planting with Shane and Braun Strowman? Like, did they just give up on that?
I guess, yeah.
Because I think that if they had kept that going, that would have been a fun WrestleMania match, and because Shane would have been the underdog. But if you look at this match, just from a physical standpoint, I think Shane is bigger than AJ. So you don't even have the underdog aspect that you would have had if you had put Shane in there with Braun.
All right, I want to stop talking about this match because I'm getting hives now thinking of Shane beating AJ Styles. I might just stay away from the internet for like 6 months if that happens.
But I mean, it points to it, right? That they did the crazy spot.
All right.
Already, so he's going to do something more nuts.
And... Yeah, and probably miss. That's my guess. And then AJ hits a
just South wrestling match. The matches. What's more nuts?
Oh, what if Shane just turns into this great ring technician a la Ricky Steamboat, and we get a lot of scientific moves and holds from Shane McMahon?
All right, let's just find out whose yard it is, because in our next match, Steve, we have The Undertaker battling Roman Reigns. I think another one that's pretty much up in the air. I think, you know, Taker could win and retire. That wouldn't surprise me. I think Reigns could beat him and propel himself into a heel turn. I think Strowman could get involved and cost Reigns. I think Strowman could get involved and cost Undertaker. I think there's a lot of possibilities and options when it comes to this match. You know, I was leaning very heavily towards Reigns beating Taker, turning heel, and winning the title the next night on Raw. I've backed off that a little bit. I still think it's possible. I'm starting to think more and more with all these reports of Taker's health that this is it for him. And, you know, it should mean he puts Reigns over on his way out the door and then goes out on his back. But I think they honor him with the win. And I'm starting to lean towards him beating Reigns because he's the face in this no matter what anyone says. And looking at this card, I just think you need a couple of face wins, and I think Taker's going to end up being one of them, Steve.
Yeah, Reigns is the heel here. You know, he doesn't. It's like Cena turning heel. He doesn't have to turn heel if he's, you know, if he's already serving the role to the crowd. And this is another one of those matches like the Cena match where it's going to be about the moment more than the match itself. It might not be pretty. There's going to be a lot of stalling in between spots. There's going to be a lot of, you know, like Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, Triple H versus Undertaker, do a finishing move, kick out, lay around, stare at the crowd. The announcers like, but over, oh my gosh, what's it going to take to beat one of these guys? I can go either way on this. I do think if Strowman's going to be reduced to being on the pre-show battle royal, that he's going to get involved in some way. And maybe Undertaker wins here and then puts over Braun on the way out. I mean, that would Reigns is already a top guy. That might do better for Braun than anything. So I don't know who the winner is going to be. It's and that's intriguing in itself.
Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, sorry. I go back and forth with it. I mean, I think Reigns should win. I mean, if I was the one doing the booking, Reigns would win, regardless of whether it's Undertaker's last Mania or not. Mm-hmm. Strowman gets involved. I could see a scenario where Undertaker kind of like choke slams them both, and then Reigns kicks out of the tombstone and beats him, or something like that. It's tough to get past, you know, the old guard at WrestleMania, even when it seems like they shouldn't win, they tend to win sometimes. So I don't know. I would hope Reigns would win. I think the match will be a little bit better than expected. Like I guess it depends on what you like. Like I enjoyed like the Undertaker Brock matches, and I think this will kind of be similar to that. One thing about Reigns is he takes a good beating. So I mean, the Undertaker will, you know, probably hit him with different things, and Reigns is good at taking a beating, and the Undertaker can't take too much of a beating. But it'll be slow paced, but I think it'll be at the very least be exciting with a few near falls. I hope it doesn't go too long, but I'll pick Reigns for hoping that they do the right thing. But I think it's the right thing.
Taker looks like such shit right now. Nate, what do you think?
I think they missed an opportunity by not either putting a retirement stipple in this match or having Taker saying this was going to be his last WrestleMania. Mm. Because I think Roman's going to win, and to have that almost like Lesnar, when Lesnar was able to walk around and say, I'm the man that put, you know, the one on Taker's streak, on Taker's WrestleMania record. For Roman to be able to walk around and say, I'm the guy that retired The Undertaker, I think that just adds even more heat to a guy that should be your number one heel coming out of WrestleMania. Because I do think we get the heel turn. Whether he wins or loses, I think we get a beatdown at the end of the match. And Roman just, you know, finally, you know, gives his FU to the fans. And Roman Reigns is now your number one heel coming out of WrestleMania. I don't know what involvement Strowman's going to have in this match. Personally, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't mind if Strowman wasn't involved in the match. But I think Roman's going to win. I think the match is going to be better than people think. Roman is a guy that I think is very underrated when it comes to his in-ring work. Dude's been improving over the past year, and you know he got some decent matches out of Braun Strowman. So I think this will be a fun match, an intriguing match. The crowd is going to be super hot for it behind Taker and against Reigns. And at the end of the day, we've got a new owner of the yard, and that man is Roman Reigns.
I think they're afraid to officially retire Undertaker, just in case he's ready to come back next year. Like, I think they're so afraid to give up that they don't want to make it formal. You know what I mean? I think he'll just be an informal retirement. I don't think he'll ever actually have a final match. I think he'll just never wrestle again. All right. Final three matches here, so let's move on a little bit. Raj, what do you think Seth Rollins versus Triple H? Non-sanctioned match. You got Rollins' knee. You got Triple H in this stable, starting to build up a little bit. We've already talked about the potential of Joe winning, and I mean Owens winning and Joe getting involved there. I think 100% sure that Joe gets involved in this match as well, and I think he ends up helping Triple H win. And then the next night of Raw, we get the official formation of his stable. Whether you know we add a fourth guy or not, I'm not sure yet, but I do think Hunter goes over. You get the knee to cover for Rollins, and you have the heel turn or the help of Joe and possibly Owens here. What do you think?
I think Triple H has been awesome in the lead up to this match. Like I've really, really enjoyed it. Even, I don't know if you guys saw the stuff tonight, but I mean, I think it's been really, really good. But and Rollins, I love Rollins in this, you know, Kingslayer role, but as far as what's going to happen, I think the writing's on the wall for a very valiant loss by Rollins. A very, you know, I think it'll be really good. And I think he'll have, you know, he'll definitely have his moments. I think there will be interference because Triple H always cheats. And I think Rollins will kind of take a prolonged beating and lose because of the knee. But I think this has a chance to be really, really good. I'm probably in the minority there, but I very much enjoyed it.
How about you, Nate?
Obviously, I'm not a big fan of Triple H, but I agree he's been good in the build up to this, and I think it'll be a hell of a match, hell of a fight, but not only does Triple H have the interference card that he can play, but he's also Seth Rollins has a built-in excuse, you know, for losing the match, and that he wasn't 100%. I'm kind of don't like that they introduced the idea of this hold harmless thing, because it kind of opens up more questions than it needs to. But that being said, I think Rollins puts up a great fight, ends up losing due to the numbers game, and then the next night on Raw, he probably brings out Finn Balor to help him out. You know, they've had their past, but they've got a common enemy in Triple H, and that's kind of our feud going forward.
Steve?
Well, we have the Finn Balor card playing here, too. You know, is that going to happen on WrestleMania? Is that going to happen on Raw? He's been already wrestling against Owens, Joe, and Triple H on house shows. So will that mean in the middle of the match, is he going to come up when Joe and Owens or both interfere? Or is he going to come out and save Seth after he's already been beaten? That's my biggest question, is how Finn Balor is going to play a role, if at all. Because I just don't think it's fair to Finn to miss out on that WrestleMania payday when he was at the top of the card at SummerSlam. And then being injured. So, you know, Rollins does it, and there's your begrudging, you know, buddy tag team for to hold the torch for the faces. It's just a matter of whether that's going to happen at Mania or the next night.
All right, Nate, that leaves us our two championship matches. We'll start on SmackDown.
Ray, what do you think, Justin? What do you think about Triple H and Rollins?
I said it. I think Triple H wins with the help of Joe and Owens.
Oh, you did. You did. I'm sorry. Long night. It's a basketball.
It is. It's my head hurts. all right. Bray Wyatt, our champion, over on SmackDown, taking on Randy Orton, as Matt Rotella loves to say. So a lot going on here. Randy Orton has burnt down the man's house. He's killed his sister, or re-killed his sister, doubled down on killing his sister. There's been a lot of question as to who is the face and who is the heel in this match. I think, you know, Orton burning down the house is wacky in their eyes, wacky fun. So I think he's still the face. I do think Wyatt wins, and I do think we get the uniting or reuniting of the Wyatt family. I think we've already had teases of Rowan. I think Harper, this has all been a tease. I think he comes out and helps. I think Rowan helps, and I think we find out who Sister Abigail is at the show, and she puts the final nail in the Orton coffin.
Mm.
I do not see the point in putting the title on Bray Wyatt just to have Randy Orton beat him at Mania after you've rebuilt Wyatt so much and finally given him the ball. Orton is a guy that does not need this win, does not need this title, and this is from a Randy Orton fan. Like, I like Randy Orton. I think this will be a fun match. I don't see any reason why he needs to win this match, and I think it'd be much more interesting if you have the Wyatts. And, I mean, if you look back in Doty's history with stuff like this, when they pronounce someone as dead and buried from the past, they usually show up shortly after. So, I mean, we've seen it with Kane and others, and it would not surprise me to see Abigail show up here, and that she was never really dead and under the cabin or whatever. So, that's my prediction. I'm going with Bray, Nate.
I think it's ironic that a guy who has committed arson is coming into WrestleMania so cold. Randy Orton is not where he should be in terms of his build. Like, I too am a fan of the Viper, but I think they tried to get too cute and too smart with this angle, you know, in having him infiltrate the Wyatts, which I think could have worked if you had that moment where he just RKOs the guy. And I know they said, you know, they didn't want it to be so simple as an RKO, but what was over with Randy when he was at his hottest last year?
Mm-hmm.
It was the RKO. And I think, you know, if you have the moment where he's in the ring and Bray's talking and speechifying and going off on one of his rants, and Randy just like turns him around, shuts him up with an RKO, you'd have a much hotter feud now than you do after we've gone through the arson thing. And is Randy a guy you really want to cheer for after, you know, he committed this crime? So I think if this match were taking place maybe 6 months ago, I would definitely say Randy Orton walks away with the title. But given the state of things, and given I think you have much more potential for interesting combinations coming out of WrestleMania with Bray as your top guy, or at least your champion, I think Bray Wyatt retains as well.
What do you think, Steve?
While I'm down on this card as a whole, because some of the matches just don't excite me. I feel like a broken record here, but it's another match where I'm not sure who's going to be the winner, and that means that they have booked it decently. I can see Randy Orton. I mean, that's been the kind of trope the last few WrestleManias, is that Orton get when he's healthy, Orton gets the RKO out of nowhere to win, and usually in really grandiose fashion. You see, you threw me with your reunification of the Wyatt family and the Abigail thing. I think if Abigail would have been seen by now, and Randy Orton murdered her, Justin. I mean, I saw it.
She wasn't there.
The ashes are on Bray Wyatt's body.
It's not her ashes.
Gotta get Andrew. We need to bring back Leslie Nielsen is what we need to do.
They did not randomly bring her back up and make her part of the storyline just for that part of it.
Did you say Baker on accident?
Did I say Baker? I don't know. I'm fucking tired. Who's gonna win?
I'll say Randy Orton.
Okay. Cowboy?
It should be Bray Wyatt, and I'll say it is Bray Wyatt.
You think the Wyatts reunite? Is Sister Abigail alive?
I am not expecting to see Sister Abigail. I don't expect any interference. I think it'll be a straight match, and I think Bray should win. That doesn't mean he will win, but
you pussies, take a chance. All right, last match. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, I Mr. Neville Austin Aries.
All right, main event. Here we go. The WWE Universal Championship on the line. Goldberg defending against Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman. Goldberg has defeated him at Survivor Series, eliminated him at the Royal Rumble, beat Kevin Owens, is undefeated, and is arguably one of the hottest guys on the company right now. I think it's stupid to have Brock Lesnar be the guy that beats him. I like Brock. Brock is awesome. Brock is not a draw anymore at this point. I just don't think he is. Goldberg may be. He may be. Why not find out? Why not let him run with it a little bit longer if he's willing to stick around? If he's not willing to stick around, I let him lose the next night on Raw to Roman Reigns, not Brock Lesnar. Now, it has been reported, perhaps, that Brock Lesnar is going to be champion going into next year's WrestleMania. So does he win it tonight and hold it for a year? Does he win it Sunday and hold it for a year? Does he lose Sunday and then win it later on, heading into Mania? I don't think that report necessarily clarifies who's going to win. It's hard to see Brock beating him again. I mean, Goldberg beating Brock again. But I just think it's a real waste of what they've built up in Goldberg to have him now just lie down for Brock. If I'm them, I triple down and have him beat him in 30 seconds again. That's what I would do and say, fuck it. Because I think Brock's mystique was killed anyway. So why not just have him do this? What do you think, Cowboy?
Yeah, I mean, if Brock wins, I mean, is it really a great moment for Brock to, you know, go down 2-1 in the series?
Right.
Right. It's, you know, I think Brock is going to win. Again, I don't really like the match that much as a whole. I don't know if I would have put the two of them against each other, because it's really like whichever way they go, it's not really ideal, right? Because say Brock beats him in 2 minutes, right, and it supposedly establishes dominance. Well, then why did he lose in two minutes 2 months ago, right? And well, Goldberg's 52 years old, and you know we don't know if he can wrestle for more than 3 minutes. So to have him as your champion going forward probably doesn't make a lot of sense either. It's a weird match to me, but I think they're just going to play it clean and have, you know, Brock win 10-minute match or so, which is pretty slow paced. If they keep the title on Brock for a whole year, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Unless he's going to stick around. I mean, I guess there's a chance. He's done with UFC. I mean, so there is a chance they just pay him and he sticks around and wrestles more, right?
Yeah, but I mean, do you want that? I mean, they have a lot of building back up to do because of his part-time status, they were basically afraid to really commit, right? And so they, you know, three ways where he doesn't get pinned and yada, yada, yada.
Well, if he's champ, he can just beat everyone. I mean, you know, that's in theory what they would do. Anyway, so you're going with Brock, right?
I'm going with Brock, and I'll boo it.
Steve?
I'm going with Brock as well. It's another match where it's more about the moment. And, you know, it is interesting that Brock has been wrestling more lately on house shows. Mm-hmm. I was just going back, and he's wrestled 4 house shows since Rumble. 2 against the Big Show, 3 against the Big Show, and 1 against Owens. And maybe he's going to be around a little bit more going forward. I do agree with you again, Justin, about, you know, why have Goldberg lose to him? And I think maybe the answer to that is they weren't expecting Goldberg to be around for more than the one match until they realized that they really had something with him. And the crowd is so into him at this point. But can his body even take it? And does he even want to do beyond this? He was pretty clear from the beginning. He was just in it so his wife and son could see him wrestle, and that was about it.
Is this definitely closing the show?
Well, let's save that for a moment. Nate, who do you like in this one?
Oh, well, JR, I know one of your favorite shows from back in the day was Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite shows from back in the day, you know, I used to watch it every day coming home from school, was Saved by the Bell. And follow me here, because this match has me feeling like a young Jesse Spano when she was preparing for the SATs. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. Because I don't know what the hell they're going to do. A, I don't think this is going to be a really good match. B, I don't know how long it's going to go. I hope it doesn't go too long. And C, Brock should win by the storyline. Brock should win. But I don't want Brock to win because I think the possibilities for intriguing matchups are better if Goldberg comes out of this with the title. And you got Roman Reigns coming out of this as a top heel. I think that be really high, and how the thing I want to get that you bet Brock will win because he should win because the storyline dictates it. But I would much rather see Bill Goldberg hold on to the belt.
All right, I want to do a little lightning round here. And we'll start, since Cowboy jumped the gun, one of the questions I was going to add. Really quick, you don't have to give much answer. We talked about all the matches. This is just real quick one-hit questions. So, Cowboy, we'll start with you. What is the main event on this show?
As in what goes last?
Yes.
What I think should?
No. What is going to go last? Well, give me Goldberg. Both. What should go last and what will go last?
Goldberg and Brock will go last. I think it should be Orton and Wyatt.
All right, Nate?
I think Taker Reigns goes last. And it should be Brock and Goldberg.
Steve?
I think Brock Goldberg goes last, and it's WrestleMania, so every match is a main event.
I think Brock Goldberg goes last, and I think it's probably the right call. I think Orton Wyatt would lead to a situation like last year where everyone just wants it to end. I mean, and that's no indictment on Orton Wyatt. I just don't think it has the hype. Ideally you want a match that at least is going to have some excitement and question and hype. And I just don't think Orton Wyatt is seen as high enough level when you look at all the other matches on that card. All right, Cowboy, what will be the match of the night?
Neville and Austin Aries.
Nate?
Jericho and Owens.
Steve?
Jericho and Owens, though it's not going to be the best match of the weekend.
Okay.
Ooh.
Interesting. Yeah, all right, I'll go Jericho Owens too. I think there's a couple contenders, but I'll go Jericho Owens. Cowboy, does Kurt Angle get involved in anything on this show physically?
No.
Nate?
No, but he is going to be your new Raw GM.
Yes, that's my prediction as well. I think Foley's fired officially Monday, and Kurt Angle will be the GM. Steve?
No, I agree. I think he's going to be the GM, despite the fact that they were trying to push that Summer Rae could be a possibility on WWE.com.
I do think we could see something where, even though he's hurt, I think Rusev is such a big part of everything that he deserves a little bit of a shine. It wouldn't surprise me if he comes out here and starts running his mouth and Angle comes out and throws him in the ankle lock. I could see that for sure. All right, Cowboys, Hulk Hogan show up at this show.
Definitely not.
Nate?
I think he does, and I hope that he has some interaction with the New Day, and I hope Xavier Woods comes out on stilts and says, I'm taller than 6 feet. Can I get a Brooks number?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Steve?
How can I follow that? Why did you even ask me?
You can't. All right, Cowboy. if no Angle and no Hogan in your eyes, will there be any other surprise appearances?
Yes. But I don't know who, though.
I'm not going to see what they are. Surprise.
It's the only insight you can only get here at Close Eyes and Headlines. Nate, what do you think?
I wish Shaq were going to show up, but apparently he's not. Just a special appearance from Shaq in Orlando would be cool. But in lieu of that, I'm going to go with the next biggest star in sports right now and say LeVar Ball shows up.
Come on.
My son's a better wrestler than AJ Styles. He's a bigger star than Hulk Hogan.
Jesus, Steve, I should really just lead with you. I'm sorry.
Let's go way crazy and say that, okay, maybe the Hardys don't show up, but our dear close friend Vanguard One shows up.
Just patrols around the arena.
New Day's out, and all of a sudden the drone comes up from overhead of the whatever the Orlando.
How big would the pop be when you take that split second to realize what's going on when Vanguard One comes out and is just sitting above New Day in the open?
I think it'd be pretty crazy.
It would be nuts.
Because it would just start slowly. Like, there'd be a couple of people noticing it, and then more and more.
There's always Ronda Rousey, too, hanging around out there on the periphery to make an appearance. We'll see. I'm sure Rock will be there, at the very least.
Paige comes out, wins the SmackDown belt from Bliss.
We'll see. Cowboy, anything on Raw? Anything big go down on Raw, you think, the next night?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
It's going to be a big show.
I think Owens is going to lose, so I think there's a chance that Jericho will lose that title the next night on Raw. And I would love if your Goldberg thing happened and he lost the title the next night on Raw. And then I think Finn Balor, big time, next night on Raw.
All right, Nate.
Yeah, I think Balor comes back. I think Angle, we might get the Angle GM appointment, and we get a Nia Jax coronation.
And the Revival. I'm going to put the Revival on Raw. Nope.
Steve?
Yeah, Finn's going to show up, and he's going to be the face focus of the show.
All right, and my final question. Cowboy, will this be better than WrestleMania 32?
I sure as hell hope so. Yes, it will be.
Nate?
Not a question. It will definitely be better than WrestleMania 32, even if it's not that good, because I was not a fan of last year's offering.
And Steve?
I used to coach track, and in high jump, when people first started out, if they're really good athletes, they could hurdle the high jump bar, and because the bar would be so low, and we're in the same point with this WrestleMania. This WrestleMania will be able to hurdle the high jump bar.
All right. Well, there you go. WrestleMania preview officially in the books here on Close Eyes and Headlines. Cowboy, I want to thank you for moseying on by and spending a little bit of time with us. Of course, lots to check out this week when it comes to WrestleMania on PlayStation.com. Our WrestleMania List-a-Mania series running hot and heavy. Just a few more days left. We've done 33 top 10 lists in 33 days. You can check out all of those on PlayStation.com right now. Like I said, we're down the home stretch. Also, we'll have main event Cavalcade of Megastars this Wednesday. Scott Criscolo leading his charge on the WrestleMania preview, so check that out too. And of course, we'll have, I think Scott's planning an NXT reaction show, and then we'll have the usual WrestleMania reaction show with Chris and the crew as well on Sunday nights. So why don't we take a break? When we come back, our buddy Pete Schermacher is going to be here talking about everything else going down WrestleMania weekend in Orlando, including the big TVN tailgate that we'll be at. So Cowboy, I'll see you in Orlando. Steve and Nate, we'll be right back after the break.
Thanks, guys. Mommy, and you know what that means, that we can do anything that you dream. I want to make it ooh, hear you scream, and I practice what I preach, if you know what I mean.
Waste of Nations, JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceOfNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place of Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place of Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceOfNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceOfNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceOfNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We are back on Clotheslines and Headlines, episode 21, the Jimmy Butler episode, if you will. And we had so much fun last segment talking WWE and WrestleMania and what they got going on in Orlando, but we felt we wouldn't be doing our due diligence if we didn't see what was going on in that city other than WWE this week. And much like Anthony Bourdain, we had to find our own tour guide for this week. And so this segment, it's not where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, fellas. It's where in Orlando is Pete Schirmacher. Pete, welcome back to the show, my brother. How you doing this week?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Anytime, my man. And so like I said, man, there is so much going on in Orlando this week. It's become a bit of an annual tradition. WrestleMania weekend has blossomed to other events and activities outside of the WWE umbrella. And so for maybe some of the listeners that might be down in Orlando this week and might be looking for something a little bit off the beaten path, maybe not your garden variety WWE fair, what events are high on your list of checking out this week, Pete?
Okay, I'm going with me and my buddy Johnny P, who is friend of the show, friend of Pro Wrestling Only and Place to Be Nation. He's also did a Barbed Wire City, the ECW documentary that some people have seen. It was really well done. He's been doing some videos lately for CWF Mid-Atlantic. I'm doing some of the big feuds, and they've been putting it on their YouTube channel and stuff. So shout out to him. But we decided to do the WWN events. And so we're running a house like 5 minutes away from the venues. And so we pretty much built our entire system around going to the WWN events to make it easy for us on the travel. Like last year in Dallas, all the shows were really close by. This year, it's not so much. I mean, everything was like within walking distance last year in Dallas. But here in Orlando, it's a lot more spread out, where it's not just like minutes away from one another. You actually have to, travel, hop in the car and maybe take a 10-minute drive or like ROH. I know they're taking people because they're kind of out of the beaten path. They're actually setting up a busing system to bus people to the show. But I'm flying in on Thursday, and we have a lined up. I mean, we have a lot going on. I mean, the first show we're going to is Evolve 80, and that's the night show. And I mean, it's a really loaded show. And if you've been following Evolve, they've really put on really consistent shows. Last year at Mania weekend, they put on some really killer shows with a lot of high-end, high-quality wrestling. We're getting they're bringing in some of the guys who've left Ring of Honor, and they're mixing them into the mix here. So like Evolve 80, you see we have the main event is going to be Zack Sabre Jr. versus ACH. The next match is Tracy Williams and Freddie Yehi versus Michael Elgin and Donovan Dijak. I'm really excited about that match. Drew Galloway and Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle, a former UFC fighter. Drew Galloway, WWE, TNA, Impact wrestler. I think they're going to have a damn good match. Riddle is one of these guys who's just like caught lightning in a bottle, and the fans have really embraced him as like the next. I mean, if he's not in the WWE in the next 2 years, I'd be absolutely floored. On top of it, a really cool guy. Keith Lee, he's from here from Texas, and I've been following his career for a while, and I knew eventually he was going to get a break, and now he broke out in Ring of Honor. He's broken up in Evolve, and where he got his first shot was really Beyond Wrestling, and he's kind of caught, I don't want to say lightning in a bottle, but he's a guy who's really gotten over everywhere he's gone now when he's been touring the United States, and he's facing Ricochet, which would be a complete different type of styles clash and stuff, if you will. You have Keith Lee, who's like the big man. He's probably about 6'5", 280 pounds, but he can also do a lot of incredible cruiserweight spots, which is just insane for a guy his size and stuff. Then we got Chris Dickinson and Timothy Thatcher, which I don't know. I'll see. Well, you know, I always have an open mind, so I'm hoping it'll pay off. Jocka versus Jason Kincaid and Ethan Page versus Austin Theory. So that's actually a really fun show, it looks like. And then we're going to the midnight show of Joey Janela's Spring Break show. And this is it's just wacko. I mean, we have the main events are, like I already talked about, Matt Riddle facing Dan the Beast Severn. So they're going for that UFC type of vibe, which I mean, right when we saw that match announced, we're thinking about going, and that made it, oh, we got to see this. And then you have Eddie Kingston and Matt Tremont, which should be a bloody brawl. We have Braxton Sutter and Allie versus Andy Williams and Penelope Ford. My boy Keith Lee facing Leo Rush. Again, big man, little man type of vibe, which I expect these guys to really tear it up. So it's funny, is this type of card has a lot of stuff that the hardcore fans will like, but then there's like really wacky things. Like we have Joey Janela versus Marty Jannetty. They couldn't book, or they couldn't pay Earl Hebner's full fee, so they're paying him for a run-in. what else is there? They booked the Invisible Man. So it's just like it's a perfect thing for people who like last year I went to Jim Ross's thing, like around it was like the midnight showing, and there were so many drunk people in Dallas, and this is the show that's booked for the drunk folks, I think, who have probably been overserved since like 8 o'clock that night, and now it's midnight and they're still in their like 23rd beer or whatever, chasing it down with some Jack Daniels. And you have a Glacier's on the card. I mean, so it's just like,
nice.
Yeah, like they're throwing some, it looks like they're throwing everything up the wall and see what sticks. And it's, I think it's just going to have the big party vibe. And I think this is like the perfect show for the party vibe. Because like everyone, you know, every time you go on vacation, if you're doing like a family reunion or what have you, you always throw down hard. I mean, hard that first night. And I'm expecting this night to be the hard where all the guys really the fans really party hard. They'll wake up with a hangover the next day and not drink, not quite as much. They might do some little chasers later on in the day when they get some food in their system, get some greasy Denny's or what have you. But this is the show that it just screams fun for me right off the bat. And then we have like, I think a noon show at Evolve 81 the next day. We have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Michael Elgin. I saw their match on demand on Rev Pro last year, and it was an excellent 4.25-star match. Matt Riddle versus Fred Yehi, the Battle of Catch Point, the Battle of the Hales Clan's Heart. These are two of the Hales Clan's favorite wrestlers, and they're battling. And I don't know. I think we might see Papa Hale drop a tear here. I wouldn't be surprised. Donovan Dijak, Keith Lee is kind of like the big thing kind of on the indies, where it's like a match where they're booking it all over. They broke the match that made Keith Lee really make a name for himself versus Donovan Dijak at Beyond Wrestling. They booked it here at Wrestle Circus for their second match, and they tore the house down and then Wrestle Circus's debut here in Austin, Texas, and they stole the show, and now they're booking it here because, you know what, I think it's a very smart match to book. You know, Keith Lee's just recently joining Evolve. Donovan Dijak, this will be his second show for Evolve. But you guys who, you know, can tear the house down and need to have a build the reps here on the big show for Evolve. And I think it's just smart booking on Gabe's part. Then we got a nice little six-man tag. Chris Dickinson, Jocka, Tracy Williams versus Sammy Guevara, Jason Kincaid, and Austin Theory. Sammy Guevara is a Texas guy who I've been pimping really hard. My boy, our boy Chad Campbell, I've been feeding him some links to him, and he picked Guevara as his breakout star on one of the shows he did last year. Yep. As he thought 2017 was going to be Guevara's year, and so far he's just had a pretty good year. Drew Galloway, Leo Rush, again, I think this has the potential to be a great match. Leo Rush works great with big men. Galloway, he knows how to play a bully, and some guys just don't know how to do it, but Galloway does, and I'm expecting these guys to tear it up. And ACH and Thatcher, I mean, these Evolve shows are just screaming out to me as incredible. I'm taking a breather. We're taking a breather, not going to NXT. We're going to watch it at the house instead of going live, we take a little breather. And then we're going after the Evolve show. I mean, after watching NXT on the computer, we're going to hook it up to the TV, of course. We look crazy having grown men all sitting around a computer screen. We are going to go to Beyond Caffeine, which is another midnight showing. And we're going to have Donovan Dijak versus Matt Riddle. Again, these guys, Dijak's really broke out the last couple of years, getting a lot of exposure at Ring of Honor. And, I mean, he's actually had a really great last year in Ring of Honor. And Riddle, again, like I talked earlier about. Jeff Cobb versus Keith Lee, two monsters, a match I'm really excited for. Cobb, I think, is having one of the best years in wrestling right now. The only thing not going for him, he hasn't had that breakout match. He's like throwing four-star matches left and right, three-and-a-half-star matches, super consistent guy. Then we have the monster tag match of the Hit Squad, Dan Maff and Steve Mack, you know, early ROH guys versus unbreakable effing machines with Brian Cage and Michael Elgin. So it's kind of like the old meets the new when it comes to monster tags. So it'll be fun. Lufisto versus Deonna Purrazzo, AR Fox versus John Silver. And we have Janelope, which is Joey Janela and Penelope Ford having an open challenge. You know, again, another, I think it's a cool name, Caffeine, like around in the midnight showing. And then we have the WWN Super Show, Mercury Rising. And that's hot. We have John Davis versus Drew Galloway versus Perro versus Matt Riddle versus Tracy Williams versus Freddie Yehi for the inaugural WWN Championship. We have Zack Sabre Jr. facing Haskins if Sabre beats ACH. If that doesn't happen, if ACH wins, he faces Pete Dunne. Jimmy Havoc versus Ethan Page. Dickinson and Jocka versus Travis Banks and TK Cooper. Lufisto versus Sue Young. And Sue Young, man, that gal, it can freaking brawl. I was here. I mean, I thought I was safe one time. I was up on a stage here at an ACW wrestling. She's working a tag match, and her and the gal she was working were setting up a spot, and I see it coming a mile away. So I move about 20 yards away, and yet what happens? The chair still whacks me in the knee. I still owe Sue Young one for that one. and finished up with Jason Kincaid versus Keith Lee. Kincaid is one of the most innovative workers around, and he has a cool gimmick, which hasn't shown on the Evolve scene. Really didn't show when he did a Ring of Honor either, but one more when he worked his NWA Smoky Mountain, where he was more of a territory. He did kind of like a Wyatt's gimmick before the Wyatts, and it was really, really cool and dark, and I enjoyed that out of him as more as a as the baby face. And then I also we're also going to the God, it's a lot of shows. We're going to the Progress show.
I haven't gone to this many shows in a year, let alone a fucking day, man.
And you're only hitting like half of them. there's half the shows that aren't even WrestleCon and Ring of Honor and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is, and it's a full one. Let me see here. Progress.
You haven't even mentioned the tailgate. That's the biggest event of them all.
Yeah, I know. That's the last year that thing rocked and rolled. I will admit, Will was like, I don't know if it'll be fun. But we had so much fun. The food was incredible. And what's even more incredible was all the cool dudes there, man. If anyone who hasn't gone to a Place to Be Nation tailgate party, definitely needs to check it out. Contact any one of us here on Twitter, on Facebook, what have you, and we'll try to hook you up. I mean, it's a lot of fun, people, let me tell you. But the Progress show, I mean, we have Pete Dunne versus Mark Haskins. We have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jimmy Havoc. We have, guys who broke out in the WWE UK tournament. We have Tyler Bate versus Mark Andrews, which was one of the best matches on that special they did in the UK. You have Matt Riddle versus Trent Seven. You have Strange Strickland and Sammy Callahan tagging against TK Cooper, and I forget the guy's name off the top of my head. We have Ginny versus Tony Storm, and we have Rockstar Spud versus James Drake, another just fun. I don't even know which one is going to be the best card. I mean, we'll see at the end of it. And then, of course, we have the tailgate the next day, which, I mean, it's going to be epic. We're all going to be out there. We're all going. Awesome stuff. Mania. And then I find out my home promotion, Wrestle Circus, is running after Mania. The show's called Midnight-ish. So I got a ticket to that. And I'm going to go to that show. It ends, I think, probably like around 3 or 4 in the morning. And I'm flying out at 7, so I'm just going to pick up my suitcase and ride to the airport. I wasn't planning on it, but I'd be embarrassed at my home promotion running Mania weekend, and I don't even show up. And then there's still loads of show. There's still all the stuff from WrestleCon and Ring of Honor. And one of our traveling mates, he's going to all the WrestleCon stuff. And like, we're just sharing. He's just making a cheaper trip by staying with us and paying rent, which was cool with us. And he's pretty much doing all WrestleCon stuff while me and Johnny P are doing all the – yeah, he's doing the exact opposite. He's doing all WrestleCon and Ring of Honor shows while we're doing all the WWN stuff. So it should be an epic week. But, yeah, I think the most epic one will be our tailgate, not the broken Matt Hardy one. That's broken stuff. This is the real deal. This is fun stuff. Nick Duke was going to throw up a spread that will trump everybody. Amen, brothers.
Nick Duke is the master tailgater. This guy, he has season tickets to Georgia football and the Falcons. So this is a guy who knows how to tailgate. And like you said, we had a great time last year. And this year, I don't have to fly in that day, so I will be there first thing when that opens up and maximizing my time this year at the tailgate.
He's going to have Stella Artois there. I mean, what more could he want? I mean, that guy's my hero.
Just for you. That was your personal ask. And then all of a sudden, it popped up on the menu the next day. He's a beast, Nick Duke.
If I could do a backflip, I would have. I mean, I was so happy.
Well, it might get you to do one if you have enough of them at the tailgate. So that is an amazing roster of shows that you're attending. Like we said, that is more than most people probably attend in half a decade, let alone 2 days. And when you run through the cards, they're all probably going to be really good. Like, it's not these aren't, low-level scrub shows you're going to. I mean, these are high-quality shows, lots of talent. Now, tell us, Pete, if you're not in Orlando, like Steve and like Nate, the majority of the shows will be available on FlowSlam, right? Are there any that are not, or any of the ones you've talked about, you know, going to basically be, you got to be there to see it, or maybe a release later, but many of these shows will air live on the stream, right?
Yes, I think all of them will be on FlowSlam. And if Progress isn't, it will be all, it would be on their Progress On Demand show, their website. I'm pretty sure because they're doing a Progress versus Evolve special final one. I think they made a deal where they'll be on WWN. The Wrestle Circus After Party one, I hear, won't be a live stream, but it will be available on their video on demand service.
There you go. Now, like you mentioned, your buddy's going to Ring of Honor, Steve. What's that card shaping up like? I believe is that Friday night against the Hall of Fame, or is that against NXT?
That is Saturday night. Yeah, okay. So that is against, but they're doing a whole day type thing too. And I think that actually it's 5 o'clock that it starts.
Okay.
Oh, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Five
they're
o'clock,
in Lakeland, I think, right? So they're a little bit outside Orlando.
Yeah, and like Pete said, they're starting to have a bus from WrestleCon to bring them there, which is actually kind of smart business if you think about it, mm-hmm. since that was one of the original concerns was that
I'm not sure how excited I am to take a bus full of Ring of Honor fans anywhere, but anyway. That's neither here nor there.
And this one, it's what's interesting about the you know, Pete, all the shows that you're going to is you have a lot of
you
guys
that
are going to be working there.
The bus driver makes like a great 3-point turn that is chant, "You still got it," as we're driving around.
Yeah. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, only for the people in the back seat when they hit a bump are going to chant, "This is awesome." People in the front are going to be complaining about too
like
much.
Sean Radican's like timing the bus drive so they can put it up on the website after.
That was a 5-star trip, sir. 5-star ride.
You get the stopwatch in the back. Ah, 24-minute bus ride. Not bad. All in jail. All in jail.
I see it, JR. I see it.
All in jail.
But, you know, Pete, like, you know, the fans work great. You know, going to all these shows is one thing. But, like, you know, you're talking about, like, guys like Keith Lee and, you know, Dijak. Man, they're working a lot of shows. They're going to be putting in some ring time there.
Yeah.
And then your Ring of Honor guys are a little bit different. They're only really doing the one show, it seems.
Yeah, because, no, you're absolutely right. It's like, yeah, these guys are booked. They're booked solid all weekend, and the Ring of Honor crew, yeah, they're doing their one shot. And some of them might get bookings maybe on a WrestleCade. I'm not sure. I haven't looked closely at the cards.
Yeah.
But they're doing their big one show at Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and then they have put out Ring of Honor that, you know, I'm always a little hesitant to fully believe wrestling promotions talking about their attendance. But said that they've had the largest advance ticket sales in the history of the company. So, you know, there's some people who are down on Ring of Honor right now. But, you know, if that is true, that's a pretty big deal. With obviously the Hardys are driving a lot of that right now.
Yeah, and I think it helped them that knowing that they're only going to be there for a short term, that they'll be catching out the bag if they're going to the WWE. So I think this is like their last chance, they feel, right, to see the Hardy gimmick without it being kind of neutered when it goes to the WWE, because I just can't imagine they're going to let the Hardys do the broken gimmick like they're doing it now with them having complete creative control. I just can't buy that one iota.
Do you think they show up at Mania, Pete?
Oof. No.
No? Okay.
What about you guys?
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. I think they do. I think if they got them, why not? You know what I mean? I think they'll roll the dice on whatever legal issues that may come up. I think they'll have them there. The buzz is too much for them not to. They kind of need. They don't really have like a big surprise unless there's one win I haven't heard of. Like, I don't care if Rock shows up or whatever. That's not a surprise to me. Even like Austin or Michaels, like these guys aren't really surprises anymore. You kind of expect them to be there. So to me, if they're really trying to, you know, break one out that we haven't heard about, I think the Hardys could be it.
And it would make sense as New Day is. I mean, I'm assuming even with Xavier, with the whatever happened with the pictures and stuff. I mean, I'm assuming they're still hosting WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what better place to set up an angle with New Day? I mean, they are the number one tag team in WWE. But to shoot an angle at Mania between the Hardys and New Day.
You got that, and you also have the Usos have an open challenge as of right now. SmackDown tag titles. I mean, if that shows up on the main show, then you know that it's the Hardys. If it's on the pre-show, it's not. Real quick, Pete, what's your predicted match of the night for Mania?
Ooh, man. Gosh, that's a tough one. Um, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, none of the matches just scream out incredible, but I'm going to go Roman Reigns and Undertaker.
There you go. I feel like that's either going to be a great or not good. Like, yeah. I feel like there's no middle ground.
Dangerously bad. Yeah.
Exactly. And I also, I mean, I know people have been crapping on AJ and Shane, but you know what? I think they might just tear the house down too, because Shane will try stuff, and AJ is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and I think he wants to have a great WrestleMania moment. And the angle's been pretty hot on TV, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that one tear it down. But yeah, really, I don't think the shows have been set up for like work rate. You know, there's none of the incredible. They haven't booked. They haven't set up like a ladder match or anything like that. Or you know, I might. You know what? I'll go with the women's match. I'll go safe, and I think the women's match might steal it.
There you go. And is it better than last year's show?
Oof. I do remember last year's show. I thought the women's match was the best match on the show. So, yep. Right ahead of the ladder match. So we'll see. But I know with Nia, I just don't know if Nia.
I meant the whole show. Do you think the whole show is better?
Yeah, I do. Because I don't think I like the fact that Hunter's. I thought yes, we'll go yes for sure. Because I think there's a lot of interesting thing, even though I know Goldberg and Lesnar isn't going to be a great match. I think it'll have a lot of heat in that building. I think the crowd will go nuts. I just thought Mania last year fell flat with Hunter and Roman Reigns and just, you know, the whole, now we're used to Reigns getting booed. So we're expecting it. But you know, at the time you didn't want to see Hunter getting cheered like that. It was almost made me sick to my stomach.
There's also more ambiguity this year around the big matches. I mean, last year you kind of knew Taker was probably going to win. You pretty much knew Reigns was going to win. You know, you kind of knew Brock was going to win. So, like, this year, Brock Goldberg, I don't think that's a given. You know, even Triple H Rollins, I don't think is a given. Taker Reigns, I don't think is a given. You know, you can lean one way or the other. You know, we've already talked about it here. But I think that there's a lot more ambiguity this year than last year. So we'll see. Steve or Nate, any other questions for Pete before we wrap up?
I just think Pete giving you a little career advice here, brother, going on the way that you broke down all the events in Orlando this week. Whenever Don West retires, you need to send Impact your resume, because you really sold us on that, brother.
I appreciate it, man. Coming from you, that's a huge compliment. I appreciate it, guys.
I'm listening to all those matches. I'm like, damn, is it too late to get my ticket?
Mm-hmm. I hear ticket sales are down this year compared to last year on these indie shows. So I'm kind of curious if it's they're going to be having a big walk on or walk up. Because I was kind of surprised because I was at the Rumble this year. I was surprised that some of the big indie shows like Evolve didn't have a bigger. I mean, they had a lot of people. Don't get me wrong, but I was expecting like 1,000 or 1,500, and it looked like we had maybe like 400 people in the building and stuff. Ooh.
Well, I think some of, and this has been a kind of a concept with some of these indies, is that the promotion just isn't there on the ground. Like, you have, like, you know, guys like us talking it all up, you know, who are going to be going to multiple shows whenever we're going into the town with a big WWE show. But when you get on the town, and that's been a big problem in the Midwest here, when like Dragon Gate, you know, and Evolve would come out, you know, if you weren't in the know, you had no idea there was a show going on.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's the same with, like, you know, like a Shikara and stuff like that too. You know, it's different when they're in their hotbed, you know, places, like, you know, in your Philly or something like that, and the community knows about it. But when some of these places start, you know, they just think that, hey, you know, everyone's going to be there, so they're going to come. But there's, you know, a lot of WWE stuff going on too, and you can come down there for the weekend and just do WWE stuff, and you will take up all of your time.
No, you're absolutely right. And then you look at something like Ring of Honor, which does have TV, and they're able to promote their show on their television, while these other ones don't have TV. So all it is Twitter buzz and internet buzz. And you know, I don't consider Flow Slam TV. You're paying for it. So it's just you're right. It's all people think a lot of these little smaller promotions think Twitter and the internet is where it is. But man, no, it's it's all, I mean, wrestling's always been driven by TV. It's always been a TV business. I mean, from now you look at Raws and SmackDowns where they're like a real house show almost in a way. But back in the day, I mean, those in the 80s, those wrestling shows were infomercials, so people would go out and go to the arenas. And that's kind of how like Mania Week is these shows. They don't have the TV, so they can't draw. So maybe Ring of Honor can't draw like their biggest house because they have television and they get people behind it.
On the opposite side of the spectrum, though, like, you know, you talked about Wrestle Circus. We've talked about that before. And how, like, my promotion that's up here, that's that Hornswoggle runs in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, that's been drawing like 400, 500 people. And that's, you know, no TV there. I know Wrestle Circus is drawing a lot of people, too. Like, what do you think the difference is there?
You know, I'm not sure because, I mean, I think part of it is loyalty because I always wondered because we had two other indies here that run Austin. Inspire Pro, I went to a show last night, and it drew 400 people on a Sunday mm-hmm. night. ACW doesn't draw like it used to because Wrestle Circus comes to town, and that ate up them for the most part.
Sure.
But I think part of it is also the town. I mean, Texas has always been a loyal wrestling town from Paul Bosch in Houston. And even when the WWF went national, some of the hardest spots for them to actually break free. We always heard they had problems for going into Calgary with Stampede. They always had problems all the way up to 1988, 89, trying to draw in Dallas. Mm-hmm. In Houston, they recently did the Paul on Bruce Pritchard and Conrad's show, whatever that's called. They did a show on Houston wrestling, and they redid the facts, but I'm a Houston wrestling historian, I can tell you. they needed WWF needed Paul Bosch to start drawing, and they didn't draw until Paul Bosch gave them his permission, gave them his, I don't want to say blessing, but kind of gave him the rub because Paul Bosch was Houston wrestling. So I think maybe it's just a Texas thing. I don't know at all. I think part of it is like in the Northeast, there's kind of almost like a built-in because there's so many different wrestling promotions and they've been loyal followers of indie wrestling for years from Ring of Honor to Combat Zone Wrestling and stuff. So I think it just might be where it's located and stuff.
Yeah. And it'd be nice to see. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
No, go ahead, Steve.
It'd be nice to see some of them. What I do like about WWN is that, you know, promotions are coming together and, you know, sharing talent and working together to put on a bigger event. And hopefully, you know, that's, you know, when you're competing against WWE and you're trying to get people in the seats, that's a way to do things.
Without a doubt. I mean, just like Wrestle Circus just recently, I mean, I panned the show where I actually hated it because I thought the booking was I think they came up, they had a mount, all their booking ideas was written down on a matchbook cover because they used them over and over the same ones. But they were able to put, like, for South by Southwest, they ran a show and was able to get, I want to say it was probably about 1,500 people in that building. So.
And that's incredible with the amount of stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And that, like, if we think WrestleMania weekend's big, South by Southwest is. Do you just move out of town when that happens?
Yeah, I tried. I'm able to avoid it when I want to. So I had to face it because I did go to that show. But other than that, I was able to avoid it because I only live about 10 minutes away from downtown, but I'm able to avoid it by avoiding downtown.
So I have one more question. Does Brad Stutz survive this weekend? Because he is ready to fucking party from everything I've seen, and he can go hard. So we'll see. Hopefully, they may roll him into the tailgate and just he'll take a nap.
He's in the wrestling business. I mean, he's a booker and an announcer. I mean, yeah, and then he'll be working his ass off, and I'm sure he'll be up all night and having fun. That's the Stutzy way.
As always, and it'll be our way too, hopefully. So you can hear more about Houston Wrestling and more from Pete on Space City each and every week here at PlaceOfNation.com, the Pro Wrestling Only feed, and also This Week in Wrestling with our buddy Tim Buckner and Pete as well. So those are both on the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Late Tough Titans of Wrestling, but Pete, we'll be talking to you in a couple weeks as well because you'll be joining us on the Place to Be podcast, as we announced last night with Scott and myself, looking at the November 85 MSG House Show. You fired up for that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I know... That's one thing drives me nuts about the WWE Network, where they don't have even hardly any of their own house shows up. And I'm a big fan of house shows. I think that's how you can tell on who's a good worker, and you can tell who really cared. And like, I've always been a kind of a dogger on Bret Hart, because you watch enough of the house show footage, you see he can coast on a lot of things, and I think it hurts him in the talk of being the greatest wrestler of all time type of stuff. But I've always been a fan of the house show, because I'm curious on how they're building, what drew, what came back and redrew and stuff. And I always liked, especially the WWF back, especially in the 80s, they had to come up with some creative finishes, because they were main eventing. Hogan was headlining the show three times and stuff. So you had to somehow book two matches where you want to see a third one. So I always found that interesting.
Well, it'll be a fun chat. I joked to Scott that Mania will be so long, we could probably throw that MSG house show on your phone or something and sit there and watch it together in the crowd during Mania.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. This has been another great edition of Clotheslines and Headlines, episode number 21. Talked a lot of WWE. We talked NXT. And, of course, Pete ran down the rest of the shows. If you're going to be in Orlando, have a safe trip. Really enjoy yourself. Have a great time. WrestleMania weekend is one of a kind. Wrestling fans, there's so much to do, so much to see, so many great people all hanging out. And like we talked about, if you want to join us for the tailgate, just go ahead and reach out to us on social media, and we'll make sure we get you hooked up. It's going to be a blast leading right up until bell time, pretty much, for Mania. So for Steve Willie and the Godfather, Nate Milton, for the Cowboy, and for Pete Schiermacher, I'm JT. We're out. Everyone enjoy Mania. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Take care.
Give me the green light, because I'm ready to go. Who got it for real? I'm Cobra. The autobiography rover. Got the key to my city, it's over. No thoughts, only in the color covers. I said, records, wretches, hold up. I said, records, wretches, hold up. I know you can't let us see. If you afraid, then you come out with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now bust it open, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.